You guys doing good? Hey, thanks for coming out tonight. See a bunch of new faces. Who am I meeting for the first time? Who am I just seeing tonight for the first time? Bunch of folks. Good. Oh, I'm back there. All excited. I'm glad you guys. Good deal. Listen, I don't want to take too much time with this, but I'm just glad everybody's here, and I want to bring you all up to speed so we're not just doing another service, but sometimes things are progressing, and we're just kind of building. I felt like last night, just kind of continued this morning. Did you feel that way? The people that were here last night and this morning, it just kind of built, you know? So just a nutshell real quick, here's what we've been preaching. We've been really preaching what it is to be a Christian, what Christianity is all about, and why God sent His Son. Did you guys say that would be fair to like just find where we've been? Why did God send His Son? And I've noticed when you ask a Christian why God sent His Son, it's usually the answer is to forgive us of our sins so we can go to heaven. That's what we've been taught our whole lives. And really, the reason God sent His Son was to get the lie off of us and the fall of man off of us and the wisdom of the world off of us and put a brand new thing inside of us, put His life inside of us. Amen? He tells us in Colossians and Ephesians to put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of the very one who created us. Now, my whole life growing up, nobody told me that. They just said, make sure I pray this prayer and get myself to heaven. And that was really the push, getting me to heaven. But see, God wants to get heaven back inside of me.
Amen.
He wants to change my life. He wants to put a new heart in me and a new way of thinking. He wants to take the animosity out of me and cause me to be a peacemaker. That doesn't make me a pushover, guys. That makes me like Jesus.
Amen.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
Amen.
Anybody can have issues. You're not special if you have issues. That's just everybody, man. I found that it's special if you're a peacemaker. I'm just being real. Oh, we might have trouble tonight. I feel silly. I'm just telling you, God sent His Son to redeem our value, our purpose, our destiny, and assure that you and I have been paid for and given opportunity to live what He desired from the beginning.
Amen.
It's all through Scripture. We spent two services talking about that and how scriptural that is. How we die to the old man, we die to the sin nature, we die to the sin identity, the sting and stain of sin. People live in guilt, condemnation, and shame. You know what guilt, condemnation, and shame are? Three major tools in the enemy's tool belt. God never uses them. They're anti-finished works of Christ, guilt, condemnation, and shame. When you're living guilty, what you're saying is, I'm not forgiven. When you're living condemned, what you're saying is, my life is worthy to be judged. When you live in shame, you're saying what I'm ashamed of is still who I am. People get flashbacks and memories of former years. Who's ever had that? And then you know what they do? They feel bad about it and they take on the identity, call a friend and ask them to pray for them. And they actually believe what they're thinking and remembering is who they still are. When you think and remember that stuff, you ought to rejoice and thank God you're changed, you're born again, you're redeemed, you're a new creature. You don't even have a problem. You have new life. But see, if you don't believe that, you let one little flashback ruin your whole identity.
Right.
It's not cool. You guys with me on this?
Yes.
Come on, I watch a lot of good people live with a lack of understanding and get momentum in the kingdom only to get toppled back, knocked down, and sometimes never really get up and run again. Just live with the same old regrets. Regret, the Bible says, when it's handled the way the world handles it, it produces death. Regret produces death. Why? Because you can't change yesterday. And you sit there and muse and go, why did I have to? Oh man, if I didn't just, man, why did I have to? Oh, I should have known better. It just eats you alive because you can't do nothing about what happened. But godly sorrow, the Bible says, leads to repentance, leads to a change of heart and mind, to a new desire and a fresh place in your life. To where, man, if you could do it over, you would. But you can't. And see, you can't change where you've been and what you've done, but who you are can change. And when who you are changes, you'll stand before God and never be judged for where you've been. You'll be judged for what you've become. Yeah? That's how the gospel works. And folks, even folks who go to church will say, yeah, but I remember when. See, that just proves we don't understand the heart and love of God. We don't really understand the blood of Jesus. We say, oh, yeah, well, you know, if they did it once, they could probably do it again. Well, they broke your heart once, I'd be careful. Better not let them get too close. I know Christians.
Christians that believe you got to build walls around yourself to not let people get too close so you don't get hurt. I'm asking why you're so touchy. I'm asking why you're living for yourself and why you're protecting you. If you're protecting you, God's not your defense. You're just saying that religiously. Amen. See, the reason God's your rock and defense is because He changes the way you think and live and believe. And the truth is what defends you. And all of a sudden, you don't put your trust in flesh, and men don't owe you anything. You owe no man anything but to love. You don't wake up for what men can do for you. You wake up for how you can lay down your life for others. I'll tell you what, that'll settle your issues for the rest of your life. Be real with me. Come on, in our own homes, we say, I love you, and then we can tear each other up with words and accents and paybacks and silent treatments and whatever we do. And I'm thinking, the whole time we're doing that, we're singing songs about Jesus, revealing that we don't know Him as much as we sing. I said it yesterday. I might have said it this morning. So the Bible says if you don't love, it reveals you really don't know Him. Now, it doesn't mean you don't see your need for saving. It doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. And it doesn't mean that you're not saved. I actually believe it's possible to see you sin and see your need for a Savior and receive Him as your Savior and believe that His blood sacrifice was enough to forgive your sin and never understand that the whole reason He bought you was to transform you and put His image back inside of you and change the way you think, live, and love. And you can actually live apart from that truth and yet receive part of that truth. Do you know the Bible has a lot to say about folks that want to be forgiven of everything they've ever done and won't forgive another person something? Do you know the Bible talks serious about that? Calls that person an evil and wicked servant.
That's right.
That's not my sermon. I'm smiling. I'm here to bust nobody up. I'm here to cheer you on. The Bible says it's not cool to just paint God in a picture of, well, He forgives us of everything. God's a forgiver. And then not become living forgiveness. Do you think God forgave us just so we're forgiven? Or do you think He forgave us so that the beauty of forgiveness overtakes us, touches us, and changes us, and we become the very same thing that set us free? Do you think that He shows us mercy just to obtain mercy? Or so that we're so touched by His mercy that we actually become merciful? I'll bet you. I bet you God desires to reproduce Himself after Himself in as many as would believe. I bet you Jesus was a seed that fell to the ground, sprung up, and wants to bear much fruit. Each seed after its own kind. I'm not talking about confessing Christians who go to church services. I'm talking about people that live like Him, love like Him, think like Him, walk like Him.
Preach it.
I'm going. Thanks. Come on, I'm serious about this. He did not shed His blood just for us to have a better day. He shed His blood to transform us and get us back in the family, and get His Spirit back in us, to institute covenant. You know the best definition of covenant? All that is mine is yours, and all that is yours is mine. Two become one, and one plus one equals a better, stronger one. Yeah? That's what happens in a marriage. That's what's supposed to happen in a marriage. It's called, I love you. Not I need you and you benefit me. And don't ever pull ship on me or I'll be broken or angry. No, love is I give my life to you.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Doesn't say, I love you. Do you love me? Just says, I love you. It's all love ever says, I love you. You tell me when God said anything different. Listen, I know folks that knew the truth. In their knowledge, knew the truth, never lived up to the truth and ran from the truth. And did that and did that and did that and then had a true encounter where their heart broke and they ran to God and there was God sitting, unchanged, received them and put Spirit in them.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Amen.
But I know folks that have those same scenarios when the person comes back. They all done cut them off already. Can't take no more. And you did this once. You'll do it again. And I can't trust you now. I need to keep you at arm's length. Yeah. I'm just telling you, we've done that to each other, but God never did that to one of us. In fact, the only reason you're sitting here with the Spirit of God in you, if He's in you, which I believe He's in us that believe, of course, but I don't know you, but I'm saying if the Spirit of God is in you, the only reason He's in you is because God loves you. And He saw past your failure and your weakness, but He didn't do it so you can continue to live in failure and weakness and just be forgiven and loved. You guys with me? Now I'm going on this tone now. This is the third sermon. I wanted to talk about faith a little bit, and here I am. It's not my fault, but I'm not going to take any blame. See, if you don't come with any notes, you can get off of them and never really miss it. You just don't have any to miss. Now you just go in the moment. But I'm just standing here, and I'm thinking of this stuff, and I'm thinking, man, you ask Christians why God sent His Son, it seems like a no-brainer answer, but I don't usually get the right answer. I don't get the Bible answer. God sent His Son to take on everything we became through the fall so we can take on everything He created us to be.
Amen.
We so relate to the fall of man. We so relate to natural wisdom, natural knowledge, the way it's been our whole lives, that we actually think that's normal, and then we get deceived into trying to bring Jesus into that. No, you give all that up and He becomes the brand new life in you. I'm serious. The Bible talks about you living not offended. It has to be possible. People say, well, I just don't want to get hurt anymore. Why are you hurt? Well, because they did and did this. Look, God's not hurt. Let's take on the strength of love and the strength of who He is, and let's stop letting life be our teacher. Let Jesus be our teacher.
Amen.
Let's not just sing to Him. Let's follow Him. Let's not get religious and not realize it. Let's just not do Christian things. Let's become like Him. Because I'm telling you, if we start becoming like Him, our sphere of influence will increase and our culture will be touched by the love of God in us. Not because you evangelize and hand out tracts, because you walk in love and live by the Spirit. People aren't impressed with our tracts if they don't see Him in you. We just reduce it to a theological debate, a doctrine, a belief system. What about a life change? What about being encouraged when everything around you says you shouldn't be? What about making peace when you're done wrong? What about your boss just totally out of order and you don't know how to not love him and believe for him? Instead of wishing you got another job and wondering why God lets him dump on you all day. And come on. Well, I feel the quiet in the room. I'm serious. Because somehow we got thinking this thing's all about our benefit. Some of us just study faith and study promises for what we can get out of God. I've been wanting to talk about it. I haven't gotten there yet. Maybe I'll get there. The Bible, the main emphasis of faith in your Bible has nothing to do with the tool you use to get a blessing. The main use, the main scriptural use of faith in the Bible is a perspective, a truth you live by that allows you to stay unchanged in the face of it all. You live by faith. Who authored our faith? Who's going to finish our faith? Who are we looking to? Looking unto
Jesus,
the one that started this thing called faith by living it, who for the joy set before him passed through what was necessary. Yeah? Man. What a God.
Amen.
He got beat and beat and beat and beat because he had to get me out of that thing. Because he knew what I looked like when I'm surrendered and he's in me and he thinks that's worth paying for. And everybody's always made it about my sin, not my purpose. Of course he had to die because we sinned. I get that, yes. And I'm thankful he did. But he died for a way bigger reason than you sinned. He died to get the truth back in you. To get your destiny restored. To get your purpose back on track. To restore you to your original created value where God said, let us make man in our image. See, we don't relate to his image. We relate to the fallen thing we were trained by our whole life. The he said, she said, tit for tat thing. Well, I don't feel. Well, I don't know why they had to. Well, I wouldn't be if they weren't. That's how we've lived our whole life. And we've made everybody else our reason for being the way we are. And Jesus is saying, no, no, wait. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And nobody comes to the... See, we say, Jesus, the way to heaven. He said, I'm the way back to the Father. Yes. We're just always making it about heaven. He's the way back to the Father.
Yes.
My whole life, guys, I only heard messages that made it all about my mess instead of my potential and destiny in Him. When you preach it today, we've been so trained the other way that we almost think it can't be right. But when you look at Scripture, it's crystal clear. He made me with a purpose. He made me with an identity and a destiny. It was lost through sin, so He became what was killing me so I could get life again. He took the lie off of me so He could clothe me in the truth again. That's the gospel.
Amen.
We've turned it into a street corner prayer that gets your name in a book called life. That's what we've done to it. Now it gets you a new life. Changes you. Why? Because He loves you so much. On your darkest, most deceived, most rebellious day, He didn't lose sight of what He made you to be. Love has never failed. And that love's changed my life, man. And I'm fired up about it. For 20 years, not 20 months. You're not looking at 20 months. You're looking at 20 years and I'm getting worse. I am. Because I live this every day. It'll never change. It gets bigger in my heart. Life doesn't have the ability to change what I'm preaching to you. Circumstances. Stuff. Why? Because the just live by... The early passing of my mother. Some of the family things that I don't need to always talk about and exploit. Come on, we all think we're the only one going through a trial. We all have trials. Don't think it's strange. Your brothers all over the world are going through the same things. The last thing we need to do is make our story matter more than the truth. Last thing you want to do is turn inward and think it's so bad that you got it worse than the people next to you. The people next to you might have it 10 times worse than the natural. They might just be seeing something clear. You guys all right?
Amen.
Come on, I'm telling you. If we miss becoming love. If we miss. You know what love is? Love doesn't seek its own. Love takes no record of the wrong done to it. Isn't it amazing how by sheer instinct we just remember the wrong? We can still remember how so-and-so, we hear their name and know what they did 5 years ago. And somehow we can't see past that and we still see them for that. When the whole time they have a destiny. The whole time they have a purpose. They might have been before the Lord broken, repented, and changed, and you still see them for what they failed you in. That would be deception. And you see them come into church and in self-righteousness, you might just get trapped and say, well, it's a good day coming to church, but I don't know if there's much hope for them. I don't remember about that. And when you do that, you actually reveal that you're the one that needs Jesus more. It's self-righteous deception. You're looking down on people. Seeing them for what they haven't been instead of seeing them for what they're created to be. Listen, I can prove exo-scriptural, 2 Corinthians 5. It's the love of Christ that compels me. Compels means to vote, motivate me, and thrust me forward. It's like the gas that makes the tank run, the motor run. The love of Christ compels me because I judge something. Not people, something. I judge something. If one died, all died. So if we live because He died, then we who live ought to never again live for ourselves but Him that died, and therefore never again judge any man according to the flesh. What But she's saying, never again judge a man for face value and what he appears to be. Since one man died, all men died. And never again will I see you for what you look like. I'll see you for what you're created for. And I will pray for you from that position. Instead of anger and frustration in my life, I'll have mercy and compassion. Amen. See, there's a difference. You can go home and pray for your boss because you're ticked off. Believe me, God's not hearing that prayer. It's not getting through your drop ceiling, guys. Because it's amidst your own lust, feelings, and desire. And it's so self-righteous to think you have such an in with God. You can go pray for your boss because you're mad at him, and God's going to hear and knock your boss off his high horse. No, you're going to get alone with God and you're going to weep for your boss, because if he really knew Jesus, he wouldn't be living that way. If he understood who he was, he wouldn't be acting that way. He wouldn't be doing the things he's doing if he was walking in the light. And you should care about that, not how he's treating you. True evangelism comes from love, guys. It comes from seeing the best in people no matter how they're living, and understanding that if they were filled with the Holy Ghost and walking in the Spirit, they would be living the way they're living, and that should matter to us. Jesus came and he wept and had compassion because they were sheep without a shepherd. He didn't come and say, what a bunch of knuckleheads, why don't they get a grip? It says God so loved the world, he gave his son. It didn't say for God was at so wit's end and frustrated and couldn't take anymore, he finally sent his son. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Come on, I'm quoting enough scripture, it ought to make sense. But unfortunately, a lot of us haven't been taught this. We've just been taught other things, and we've made it about just... I hear people say all the time, well, we were created to worship. The Bible says you were created for his image. You're created to subdue the earth and manifest his great name through your life. Your light in the world. That's the highest form of worship. When we say we're created to worship, we think we're just created to sing to him. But you're created to follow him. To live one with him. To walk in the cool of the day with him. And when Adam lost that, Jesus came and paid for that to get it back. You call that relationship and union with him, not doctrine and theology. I mean, so have strong doctrine, have sound doctrine. What I'm saying is, don't let your doctrine take the place of knowing him to where your heart's not coming from his place. People in the church, I hear them say it a lot. We say, boy, don't pray for patience. God will give it to you. And there's people that pray for patience. And I'm thinking, you know, love is patient. Let's just become love and we'll have it all. You say, well, God must be so patient. No, he loves. And where sin abounds, grace abounds more. That's not enablement. That'll empower you to change. What God's saying is, you can't make me change my mind about you. He did that in the Old Testament with Hosea the prophet. Go marry Gomer. Gomer takes off and goes back on the street. What should I do? Look, go get her and bring her back. And then he ends up prophesying to Israel, for you can't get me to stop loving you.
Amen.
Wow. That's not so you have a ticket to sin. That's so you have such a compelling by the love of God that you don't want to walk away from him.
Amen.
Look, I didn't find a way to sin and get away with it. I found a way to be free.
Yeah.
We talked about that this morning, didn't we?
Yeah.
Did we nail that one down or what?
Yeah.
A little bit of scripture on that, huh? Wow, read your Bible. It's amazing what's in there. You just listen to others talk and say what they're saying. You might be missing something that's in there. See, I didn't come at nobody this morning with one or two scriptures, did I? I threw the book at you. And we read it right off the board. It wasn't my sermon, was it? It was right out of your Bibles. Free from sin? That sounds like heresy to the church. We all think that's blasphemy. We need to think we need to stone that preacher that says we're free from sin. The Bible says it. But you better believe it. And the only way you'll ever be empowered to live free from what you used to be is you believe that grace is sufficient and that he's willing to make you different. You have to be willing to be changed. You're not biting your lip trying not to sin. That's a good way to fail.
Yeah.
You get before God and realizing there's more to your life than what you've produced. And then he has the ability to change you, and you're ready for change. And you want to walk in those old desires. You want to walk in him and manifest his image and make his name known.
Amen.
See, I had fun with this stuff when I got saved because I worked with the same group of guys for 13 years. I'm just one of the guys. I was just one of the guys. And now I get born again. Oops. I was so changed that they thought I was in a cult. They thought I was brainwashed. They were so concerned for me. Because I didn't curse anymore. I wasn't angry anymore. I didn't mock anybody anymore. I didn't laugh at their bad jokes towards others. They're tearing down Jimmy and I didn't think it was funny. And all of a sudden I'm not Dan anymore. Well, you're right. The Dan you knew died. Well, we just want you back. Why? Because the new thing I became confronted their lifestyle. It was different than what they were comfortable living. So it would have been easier for me to go back to normal. Not going to happen. Here I am 20 years later, I'm worse. I promise you I'm worse. I don't even have, you see, you don't have to believe me. Time's going to tell that I'm right in this. You'll see I'm telling the truth. You don't have the ability to break my heart. My hope isn't set on you. I didn't wake up and put something so strong on you that you could fail me and disappoint me. I wouldn't do that to you. You don't do that when you attend a church. You say, yeah, but we're family. We all should be working together. Well, then work together and be like Christ.
Amen.
Don't hold people so accountable that you lose sight of their value and can't trust each other and can't lay down your life and show mercy and have compassion and make peace. Don't get so religious that you fail and miss the heart of God in it all. Well, they should have known better. Well, they shouldn't have. Well, they've been saved longer than me. Well, how come they? Well, why did Pastor? It's all the time in churches. And it proves that we don't know Jesus like we sing, guys. We're not supposed to have animosity and divisions and schisms. Paul said when we do, it proves we're immature and we're very carnal. Yeah? What's wrong with love? You don't go. People go to church to be loved. And then they leave church and say, well, I don't know if I'm going back there. It wasn't a very loving place. It should have been. You were there. See, I got you, man. Everywhere you turn, I'm wanted. Bam! Who's ever heard that? Well, how was it over there? Well, I don't know. It wasn't too social. People weren't very loving. And I don't know if I'm going back there. Well, that's the reason you ought to go back and take some love with you. See, the problem is, I shared it last night for those of you who weren't here. When God made man in his image, God is love. So God made man to love. When man got cut off from the source of love and got cut off from love and separated himself from God, he became bankrupt and in need of love. And every man since that day, Romans 5, was born into Adam, and you must be born
again.
We turned it into a prayer to go to heaven. But it's a restoration back to love. Back to the heart and nature of God. Yeah?
Amen.
He said, when you see me, you see the Father. So if any man comes to me, deny himself, pick up his cross, and why? So that when they see us, they see the Father. Man, that's just good and solid. You want to see something awesome? I don't know. Get on. Are you okay, Pastor? I didn't know if you had an expectation of me preaching anything tonight. We can talk about it. I'm where I am. I can't help it, and I'm pretty excited about it, and I didn't expect to be here. I actually thought I was going to head somewhere else, and I stood up and started talking, and I'm here. And I'm just okay with it. I've learned a long time ago, I'm on a journey with you. I find out where we're going by the end. You say, you're unprepared. You're wrong. I am far from unprepared. See, I've learned that if you be with him, you're always ready.
Yes.
You have a message inside of you. I never stand up and try to preach. Are you kidding me? Never one time in my Christian life have I read my Bible to preach. Never once. I'm looking you in the eye. I've never once read my Bible to preach. I've always read my Bible to know him. And I only speak out of who he is in my life. That's why you can tell I'm excited and it's real and I'm not just putting on a show for you. Or I'm either a very good actor and a very deceived and twisted man. Or I'm on to something. I got all my like chips on lunch or something. Come on, I'm either deceived or free. My chips are on free, baby. Now, we'll find out someday. But my chips are all on free. Because see, you don't live with me, I do. And I know my life apart from you. And it gives me great confidence before you. And before you. Because I'm not here to preach a sermon and put on a show. I didn't fly the whole way down here to impress you. I'm impressed. And I feel like I have something to say. If he's going to give me the mic, I'll come down and say it. Yeah? Because I believe you're worth it. And I believe it matters enough that it'll change things in the big picture.
Amen.
Could I be somewhere else right now? Yeah, I told you yesterday I'm here because I want to be. I'm not here because I need to be. I'm not here for the offering you took. You're not paying my bills next month. That's not why I'm here. This isn't a career. It's not a way of living. It's not a ministry. We're family. It's a calling.
Amen.
You guys with me? Come on. What it's become just grieves me. We brought the world into the body. We got marketing. We got all this stuff in the church to try to gain attention. We got millions of people church shopping and pastors pressured to produce the product they're looking for. It's a tragedy. And we think because we're gathering thousands, we're succeeding. No, if we're reproducing Christ, we're winning.
Come on.
Why would people want what you say you have if they can't see it in your life, your attitude, and your person? They don't need somebody that can quote scripture from a place that doesn't love them. Quote scripture from a place that's right, making them wrong. They don't need you so full of knowledge that you've lost the heart of God and you're actually mean in your conveying of knowledge and judgmental. It's the last thing people need. First John. Would you look at it with me, please? Let's just have some fun. I'll just run through and I'll just read some stuff, okay? John talks pretty raw, you know that. Like, he uses the word liar and stuff. I don't do that in that preach. John is, like, intense. And he's the lover. He's like the disciple Jesus loved. And he's like, liar. I'm like, what? I don't preach that. He says stuff like, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. If you say you love him and don't keep his commandments, you're a liar. What he's saying is you're hiding behind words. Your life reveals what you believe, not your words. Your life lived. How you live defines what you believe. What you say is very cheap if it's not backed up by your life. Yeah?
Yeah.
We're pushovers for that thing. Like a phrase, I love you, has hurt more people than it's ever blessed. Because we need to hear it, for one thing, because we want to believe we're lovable and not love. So people can live outside of love all year long. Valentine's Day comes, or some birthday comes, or Christmas comes, and all of a sudden you're buying a gift, and I love you, and you're right, I'm trying to make up for the last 364 days. No, really, I love you. No, you're good. This guy is a bitch. We're down the road, baby. It'll be different. It's different this year. It'll be changed. Look, girl, I love you. Really. It's just the way it is, man. It's a starry-eyed Hollywood movie. It's crazy. It's because we're so vulnerable to that phrase because we need to feel lovable. Why? Because when Adam sinned and got cut off from love, love became in need of love. You were born and I was born needing love. You and I needed to find ourselves. None of us knew who we were when we were born. From little up, it was a rat race trying to identify yourself, find yourself, find stability, get acceptance, be popular, be esteemed, find honor. Every one of us at some level knows what I'm talking about. And some people got destroyed in that rat race. And some people became hard and became fighters. But nobody's winning. It's every man for himself. It's using one another and living at the expense of one another. And sometimes we go out of our way to get attention from others. Why? Because we need esteem. We don't know who we are apart from Him. And it's tragic if we preach a gospel that doesn't identify us only through Him and completely through Him. So that now we can do justice to one another and justice to the truth. And we can actually become one in Him. And wake up and understand that nobody owes us a thing. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? Because you're to live trustworthy. You're to walk in accountability before your own conscience and the Lord. But I'm not to put my trust in you. But you're to live trustable. Ain't that something? So it doesn't leave us off the hook. It doesn't give us some ticket to live loose. What it does is it separates me from ever letting you decide who I am. He already did that. Now I see you clear. So no matter what you do, I can love you and know your value because the truth's made me free. And I see myself in Him and I got a good look at you. Because you love God with all your... And love your... Well, wonder if you don't love who you are. Wonder if you don't have a good view of you. Wonder if you're in low esteem and identity crisis. Then guess how you see your neighbor? The same. And all of a sudden you nitpick and fault find because now you don't feel so bad because everybody else has their issues too. Maybe you aren't so bad. And maybe you're not the only egg in the basket. And next thing you know, the way you see yourself is the way you're seeing others. But wonder if you really love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind and love your neighbor as yourself because you have a healthy view of who you are in His sight and through what He accomplished. And it's not high-mindedness. It's not arrogance. It's not vanity. It's the truth. And all of a sudden, you like who you became in Him. And all of a sudden, you look out through your eyes and see what you never saw before. Destiny, purpose, value, people that He loves. It's the whole purpose of the cross. I'm not being mean. I sat in church till I was age 20. Nobody ever told me what I'm telling you. That's why I'm so passionate about it. Making sure if I get a mic, I'm going to make sure I say stuff like this. Went to church till I was 20. Nobody ever told me nothing like I'm telling you. I learned it in my bedroom with Jesus. And He made me solid in that place and secure in that place. He made me untouchable in that place. So here I am 20 years later, not a hurting minister, preaching with spite, speaking out of pain and disappointments of my life in ministry. Happens a lot, you know. Get caught in a tangent and use the pulpit to prove a point. Oops. I'm just saying. No, you give me a mic. I'm just preaching the kingdom. It's all I know. It's all I live by. Loving you. Making you valuable. Look, you go into Walmart. You guys don't have Walmart. You know, like, dude, make enough for a Walmart, man. Guys, that's awesome. You got a Walmart. I didn't know. I didn't even see a light in traffic light. I think you didn't have Walmart. I guess there's a couple traffic lights. Just a couple. Just having fun. I'm a city guy, man. I come there, I like it in a place like this. It's cool. But you have a Walmart. You qualify. You ought to feel good about the Walmart. So you got a Walmart. So when you go to Walmart, you got all these price checks and barcodes and prices and all that. Why? Because all the shelves and all the goods is things of different value. You go into the store of humanity, what I'm looking at right now, every single human being that ever lived and ever will live wears the same price tag. The blood of Jesus. Why? Because everyone has the absolute same value. There is not a high life, there's not a low life on the planet. Everyone's worth the blood. Every mountain's been brought down, every valley's been lifted up. We are on the same plane of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Yeah? There's not one person more significant or less significant. Does God use people in greater ways than others? Yeah. Surrender, giving yourself joy, making yourself available, calling, gifting, certain graces. But I promise you, every person that ever lived and ever will live requires and is worth the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And He doesn't say, well, you know, just need a couple drops for Paul, but need a whole vial for Dan. Right? I could have switched that. I could have, but I didn't. Are you guys with me? We all require the blood. So there's no such thing as self-righteousness and high-mindedness when we understand there's actually humility in the gospel. It produces a humility in us and a thankfulness. And wow, you really see us for this? Wow, I want to see what you see. I want to step in and walk in what you know. I don't want to live with the same old degenerate feelings and regrets and shames and self-consciousness and identity crisis and issues. I want change. Come on. I don't want to be self-conscious.
Amen.
I want to be so Christ-conscious.
Amen.
I want to be Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
You look up the word glory. The most simple definition you can give of glory without getting into some long thing is any made known, manifest, seen attribute of God. It's the glory of God. Any revealing of who He is the glory of God. Watch this. Christ in you is the hope of making God seen and known.
Amen.
What's your hope of making God seen and known? The Christ in you. Well, why is He in you? Because He wants to be and paid the price to move in. So you were a house fit for a king and didn't even know it. You were prime real estate. And yet letting people bother us. He said, she said, eat our lunch. Letting life speak louder than truth. Only being doing as good as things are going. Only being as encouraged as things are panning out. Come on, none of that has to do with truth. We got to get a higher faith, guys, and a higher vision. Where He says to look to Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. You know what else He says? He says, consider Him. It's verse 3. Consider Him, Paul. Consider Him who endured such hostility against Himself, lest you, Paul, would ever be weary or discouraged in your soul. What's He saying? That discouragement is unscriptural for the Christian. He's deceived and has his eyes on himself. And we believe, at large, discouragement is normal and everybody's going to go through it. And the Bible says it's not normal. Come on, we always say heaven on earth, your will be done on earth as in heaven. We always make it the power of God and miracles. And there's no cancer in heaven, so there can't be any cancer on earth. In Jesus' name. And we always make it about miracles. Wonder if your will be done on earth as is in heaven has more to do with the heart of God than the power of God, because all the power of God flows through who He is. Is there animosity, unforgiveness, jealousy, anger, frustration, tit for tat in heaven?
No.
So Jesus is saying that it ought to be on earth as it is in heaven.
That's right.
Oh, come on. So did Jesus teach us to live that way? The fall of man did. So let's get born again. And let's put that stuff off according to Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. There's a lot of other chapters through Thessalonians, Romans, Corinthians, talks about living this way. It's there. I read the chapters. They're really in there. They talk about new life through Jesus Christ. Not a confession of faith, a transformation of life. See, my wife knows this, so I'll preach it boldly. You don't have to agree with me, and don't elbow your spouse, or I'm really talking to you. My own wife has no ability to break my heart. She can't. It's impossible. I didn't wake up for her to do anything for me today. I love her. And if she's struggling, if she's living out of conduct and out of order, if I go home and she's in a situation that you would never want to find, you guys follow me? And I'm sorry that stuff happens, but it happens. People get confused, mixed up, deceived, caught up, live out of their emotions. Here's my thought. If I would go home and my wife would be in an appropriate situation, why would it be so easy to sit and boo-hoo and cry for me when she's in trouble?
That's right.
Because my love isn't love. She owes me. She's supposed to be a certain way because she's my wife. And she's stereotyped through her position in my life. And all of a sudden I have expectations on her. And now I'm hurt and broken and a statistic. And I move on in my life unresolved. The next relationship will have a lot to do with the pain I never got over. And yada-da-da-da for the rest of my life. I'm just telling the truth.
Right.
And we ain't ready for that kind of gospel, I'm concerned. But it's the gospel. Why is it so easy to cry when people do things I thought we love? I say I love my wife. Then why am I crying for me? Why ain't I crying for her if she's in that position? Because if Jesus comes back, that's not a happy day. So why ain't I thinking more about her instead of what she did to me? Because I ain't letting what he did for me be enough. Oh, I'm talking straight to you today. This is the gospel I'm preaching to you. I preach this way in the American church, and it's hard to even hear. I can feel it in the room. It's not so bad tonight. This is actually, we're doing good. No, you guys are really doing amazing with it. Usually you ought to feel what I perceive, because I have a real good perception in my life. God's graced me with some things. Usually when you talk like this, it stumbles the whole room. For one thing, there's a whole lot of that stuff sitting in the room. So I got this guy in our church. He and his wife, you know, at one time they were starry-eyed. Love you. Came together. You get intimate long enough, somebody's getting pregnant. It's usually the lady. Usually. But see, right now, I'm pregnant. You don't even, if you look in the spirit, I'm pregnant. I've been with him. And that thing in me is from him. And when it comes out, it's going to look like its father. I'm just telling you, you get into the long enough, you get pregnant. See, that's not some weird sexual thing, it's a spiritual truth. Each seed after its own kind. All the things we enjoy in a healthy and holy way in the natural have tremendous spiritual meaning. The union of a marriage. Tremendous spiritual meaning between you and God in the Spirit. Yeah? Man, he's talking about Christ and the bride and husband and wife. Great mystery. Whew. I could camp there a while. I promise you, it's a good topic. But they had all this love going on, and they had two small children. But they weren't settled in conflicts, and they were having conflicts, and they weren't getting resolved, and they were going to bed at night without resolve. And after a while, you wonder what's happening. Your love's growing cold, and all of a sudden you think you don't love somebody anymore, and all of a sudden they're not meeting my need, and I don't know what you guys know. I hope you guys don't slay me for this. If you do, it's all right. Just kill me. I'm not going to die anyway. Just do it quickly. Someone shoot me. Don't like stone me. Shoot me. Don't stone me. Just shoot me, okay? If you're going to kill me for saying this, somebody shoot me. Hit me right here. That would be better than stoning me.
Come on.
Pray it. It's okay.
Now I'm just waiting if I need to pray. If I need to bring it, I'll bring it. Let's do this. They get together. They have two children. They don't get resolved. They don't... I've tried to run from it, but I can't. We teach in the church that men are made a certain way and women are made a certain way, that men need a certain thing and women need certain things, and that it's your place in a marriage to make sure you meet the need of your spouse. That's taught in the church. And it couldn't be farther from the truth.
Amen.
Because all of a sudden your spouse isn't meeting your need, speaking your language, doing what you need. And now they're your reason for not being where you... It's deception. It's deception. Jesus is the meter of your need.
Amen.
And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge is to be filled with all the fullness of God. The word means a house with no empty rooms. A town with no empty houses. It means a ship so full of cargo there's not space to put another box. Now don't tell me I'm going to be insecure if my wife isn't meeting my need. I'm not needy. I love her.
Amen.
This is what makes a relationship strong, guys. It's called love.
Amen.
Need is a confusing, messy, yucky thing. Because the one you say you love, and you only need them when the need's not fulfilled, you'll find out if you love. She gets on the internet. In arenas, Christians ought not even know they're there, let alone entice them and entertain them. Christians shouldn't even be on this stuff. Just chatting, just talking to a guy. Say, well, I just use the internet to preach. Go out of your house and look in somebody's eyes. Talk to a person. Well, I've reached a lot of people in the area. You might be talking to a 15-year-old that's telling you they're 45. You might be talking to an atheist who's sitting there laughing at you with his friends drinking beer because you believe they're a Christian. You don't even know what's going on the internet. Go look in somebody's eyes and be real. Oh, some of us ain't ready for that. That's what I'm feeling, Lord. That's what I feel, but it's just all right. It's because some of us are so consumed by that internet, we forgot how to be actually social and real and face-to-face. Sometimes it's a cop-out because you don't have to be personal. I'm in trouble. She gets on the internet and this guy starts saying things to her that she needs to hear. Warning, warning, warning. He's in another state. Next thing you know, she's mesmerized and she's sure she's found love. It's impossible. It's a delusion. You're not getting on the internet finding love when you're married to a man and have unresolved conflicts. The only reason this looks inviting is because you're hurt here and your heart's divided. If you're doing well with your spouse, you're not even on this thing. If you're doing well with your spouse, you don't need to hear anything from him. There's nothing about him that attracts you because you're solid here. But when you're hurting here, you're vulnerable here. And I like what you just did. You're going, if you got this, you can't be doing this. I said that last night strong. Very strong. You can't have this and do this with another person in the wrong way. In fact, let me just flip this a little bit and talk about love again. It says if you love, it's because you know God. If you don't love, it's because you don't know God. It's impossible to truly have this. I mean truly have this. I'm not talking about knowing the Bible, having doctrine, or a ministry. I'm talking about viable communion and union with the Lord. It is impossible to have this and not have this where love's concerned. Because the whole reason for this is this, to love one another. And this is how we know we love God, because we love one another. Nobody's on an island by themselves with Jesus. Well, you know, I don't need people. God loves me. No, you're hurt by people, and that's why you're talking like that. And you're hiding behind a confession that's not helping. It's time to get real and face reality and get healing. You guys all right?
Yes.
So in no time, I'm talking in a matter of days, she super hyper serves him papers, and she's divorcing her husband and two children. She's leaving to get on a plane and go sleep with a man she never met because she met him on the internet and he said the right things. And she's sure it's love. I compelled her. She cried. I cried. I bawled. I said, you can't do this. She said, I've been good all my life. It's time for me to go have some fun. I said, fun. Fun. And I told her what she was getting into. Took off mesmerized. For 5 days. 5 days he screamed in his bedroom and yelled in his bedroom and cried out to God. For 5 days, he said he was on a rampage. See, because he came in my office 5 days later and he's bawling, he's out of control crying. I see him coming and I'm like, this is going to be tough. Because I can't let him stay broken. I can't let him become a product of what she did. Jesus is greater than that. I got to love him. I got to understand. I'm sorry this happened. I can cry with him for about 20 seconds, but anything after that's going to get weird. Seriously. I wish she didn't do it, but she did. So we got to man up in the Holy Ghost, and we got to find our identity through Christ and not become the identity of her decision.
Right.
Oh, I guarantee you, that's how I pastor. And I'm thinking, I got to be strong with him. I got to tell him the truth. And at the same time, understand he's a hurting boy right now. But I can't compromise the only thing that will help him. So I'm Okay, adjusting here. Oh, God, thank you. I have no need to correct this man, and I am not going to touch him, and so far I have to be full of compassion. I understand it, God. Thank you for truth. Thank you for wisdom. And I'm just preparing my heart and releasing faith, because this is a tense situation, and this man is coming, and he's crying hard. He comes to the door, and he comes in my office. I said, Cecily, he saw me through the window. I said, come on. He came in, he said, he's so sensitive to me, because he knows me. I'm his pastor. He knows the gear I'm in. Don't be concerned, Pastor. I'm not crying for what you might think. I've heard the Lord. I said, what'd you hear? What? He said, I've been in my bedroom crying for 5 days. I haven't come out. I can't eat. I don't want to go to work. My parents were watching the kids. He's just in his bedroom freaking out. You know how the way that seems right to man works in folks? The analytical mind. Watch. He's pacing his bedroom. God, you got to bring her back. God, you got to bring her back. God, how can you let this happen? He's punching walls. He's screaming. He's pulling hair. I mean, he's loose. Because one day, he thinks everything. Men can be a little oblivious to some things. He's just thinking everything's okay. Hey, we slept together 2 days ago. Can't be too bad. I'm just saying. And all of a sudden, he's got divorce papers and she's gone. 5 days, God. Silent, he's screaming. God, silent, he's screaming. Fifth day, God strolls into the bedroom and makes his presence known. You know he can do that, right? Yes. He like let him know he was in the room. Yes. Like, God just... I don't know. He's just cool. God is amazing. Like, he comes in my little truck. I don't know how he fits. Like, he comes in the truck, man. And I'm like, you think you got to roll down the windows? Just leave them up because it don't help. He's, God's awesome. Shoot. But he come in that little Toyota truck. You think it's going down the road bogs or something. But people look and don't even know what's going on unless they see me in there. But anyhow, let's get back on track. It's my fault. I got off track. Okay. So he comes in the bedroom and he's screaming, and all of a sudden God's here. But God's here. So he calms down, gets quiet just enough. But golly, God didn't say anything for 5 days because he never was quiet. Watch what the Lord said to him. Amazing how secure God is and how loving. But secure. He said, why are you praying that way? Stop praying that way. Amen. You don't have a problem. Mm-hmm. He said, Dan, I was never so mad at anyone in my entire life. He said, and it was God. He said, and the veins were literally popping out of my neck as I screamed at the Lord. Now watch his rationale. What do you mean I don't have a problem? What, is this a joke to you? Is this funny? I don't have a problem? I have divorce papers. My children no longer have a mother. My wife is in the arms of another man. And I don't have a problem. See, that's real. Amen. And that's his rationale. God, unfazed, just said gently and softly to him, but authority and power. That's exactly what I said. You don't have a problem. Your wife is in trouble. And he began to cry and cry. And the Lord impressed on him this. How is it possible that I live inside of you these last 5 days and all you can think of is yourself and what she did to you and never once consider her state of being, her delusion, her deception? Jesus. How is it possible that all you can do is cry for you? Jesus. Now that's God talking to him. And that's the gospel we all need to understand. So I'm telling you, even in this room, we've missed it in this area. We've let people decide how we're doing and who we are. And don't you get condemned at what I'm preaching. Learn from it. And don't ever let it happen again. And let's learn to move forward and move past the lies. Come on, man. This guy cried out of control because the Lord said, she's in trouble. Why can't you see that? Have we preached such a self-serving gospel that all we are is Christians for our sake? or are we Christians for His great name? Come on. Let's not sing all these amazing songs that are on the planet today and miss the life that they speak of. When he heard God say that, his heart broke and he ran, and that's why he was crying, to tell me the good news that brought him liberty.
Thank you, Jesus.
Did it mean it all went away?
No.
But it caused him to see it through a different eye. And if the eye is single, the body's flooded with light. It doesn't say, unless, of course, your wife just left you for another man. It says, if I see single, I'll be okay. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye gets distorted, your life gets distorted. If you see clear, you live clear in the face of it all.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
The eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eye is single, healthy, it means if it looks through, it means one lens, one voyage, one way, the way.
Amen.
Narrow view.
My eye.
Come on. It's not wide view lens, multiple choice. Yeah, but. It's if I see through him, through the truth, light will always be in my life no matter what. But if my eye's not single, broad is the
way.
If my eye's not single, darkness encroaches. And it says if the light in you is darkness, that means you're created for the light. Now there's a perversion. If the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What's he saying? Just how twisted is your view? Because what you see is determining what you are. Man, it's good solid preaching right here, buddy. If you're going to give me a mic in the church, I ought to preach good. I fly to Asheville, I ought to preach good. We can just mail you a tape, you know. I have so much fun with what I do. That joy you see in me, ain't nobody can do a thing about it. I promise you. There was a day my wife was in a coma on life support with severe brain damage, and there's no way you'd have had any idea. That's humanly impossible. Humanly impossible. But I know it's possible because grace is greater. If I'd have been pumping gas, you'd have had no idea. Keith, you'd have shouted across the parking lot, Dan, good to see you. How are you, bud? I said, doing great, man. My eyes are on him. You well? Yeah, brother. Good to see you, bud. I wouldn't have said, oh, man, I'm glad you... Man, you got to pray for my wife. Look, I'm heading over there now. Get a bunch of people. Pray. Call so. Are you kidding? I won't empower that thing like that. What is that thing in the face of what's inside of me? Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I ain't boasting on that thing. I got an answer, not a problem. I'm getting a little militant on you. Come out and scare somebody. But I'm just telling you, this is how I live. Because this is how he taught me. And I don't know anything else, so I'm not good for debates or coffee table arguments. I won't sit and argue doctrine. I won't even do that. I won't sit and hash on healing. Most of the time when people are fighting over healing, they're only defending what hasn't happened. They're not even defending his life. They're not letting his life be the barometer. They're letting their experience be the truth. He's the truth. Everything that happens isn't the will of God, guys. People are being destroyed for the lack of knowledge, not the sovereign choice and will of God. Get the knowledge, stop destruction. People are reaping what they sowed, that sow new seed and get a new harvest.
Amen.
It doesn't say they're reaping according to the administrative choices of God. He put death and life in your tongue. Start speaking life and don't ever speak death.
Amen.
It's amazing how we get so religious that we turn it all around and put it on him and say, yeah, but he's in ultimate control. Read your Bible. He gave the earth to the children of men. And he told you to subdue it and be of courage and live by faith. He gave you a sword. He gave you armor. He gave you his word. Use it.
Amen.
It's like a big chessboard life. He moved through Jesus, looked at you and said, your move.
Yeah.
We're waiting on him. And he's waiting on us. And I've seen countless good folks that are misunderstanding get hurt, get mad at God, lose heart, get discouraged, and give up because of circumstances, family issues, and tragedies. And prove that they never understood that they have a covenant relationship with Him. Somehow He's been reduced to a need meter instead of a father. God never gave you the gift of a family and children at the cost of who He is. He gave you those things in light of who He is, so you steward them in the truth. God forbid something tragic happens, but if it does it change God? Does it change the finished work of the cross? Does it change eternal life? No. So why do we let it change us? The just shall live by faith. Are you guys all right? Because I feel excited. Because it's liberty to me. By the way, we went over, my son and I walked in, prayed for my wife. She didn't get better in the moment. Nothing changed. We prayed our 20-second faith-filled prayer. Because in those situations, when you're faced with a visual, I don't pray long. It's my choice. I don't pray till her eyes open. You'll throw yourself in unbelief. You'll get into works. You'll try to pray the right prayer, the right combination. Next thing you know, you're waving two flags and quoting Old Testament prophecy because it stirred you once in your bedroom or something. I'm just telling you, I've been around this a long time. And I know what we do. And we so need her eyes to open, and until they open, we aren't believing. But when do you just believe Him? When do you walk over to the bed and pop open her eyes and smile and look into her eyes that you can't find because they're not there? Did you ever look at a dead person? You can't find their eyes. You can look at a painting and find the eyes if the person knows how to paint. But you look at a dead person, you can't find their gaze because there's no life. You look at somebody in a coma, you can't find their gaze. Come on, that's my own wife, the mother of our children. And I pop her eyes open and smile real big and say, "Hey girl, my son and I, your boys are here to see you." And she ain't home. And if you look at that too long, you'll let that stuff get in. It'll be empathy. It'll just be my wife. And God, you gotta, oh God. I won't go there. I looked at her for 20 seconds. I smiled. I didn't even know what I was doing. My 14-year-old son needed this. He ain't never been in ICU, let alone his mama in a coma. I'm in ICU all the time. Not with my wife. But I've been seeing some friends and some folks that didn't look like them. You get what I'm saying? So I'm in a little better position in the surface in the natural of this thing. He's 14 years old. He's been messing around. He's been compromising. He's been dipping into things, living in secret. He ain't ready for this thing. When the storm hits, he ain't ready. Pretty tough to build a house in a hurricane. You better live wise and you better live ready. If you start preparing when war's on the horizon, you're late. No wonder we lose. You prepare now. And when war shows up, you're ready and the gospel will defend you. You live like a wise man, right? And you hear and become what you heard. And when the storm comes, because the storm's coming to the wise and the foolish, when the storm comes, it'll beat and blow against that house that's being built, and it ain't budging. See, the storm ain't even out to destroy you. Stop taking adversity personal. It's out to stop what God is building in you. Do you understand? You're in a demon war against the kingdom of God. And if you take adversity personally, you're going to make a serious mistake. Your life's not your own. So if you're just a Christian to have a better life and get through the day and survive, you're going to have a hard ride and probably not run well. Don't say that. No, I love you enough to say that. It's not why you're a Christian. So you walk in there, you pop her eyes open and you say, "Hey girl, your boys are here to see you. We came to get you out of this nap you've been in. You've been in this nap way too long." I said, "Now me and him just went to the grocery store. It was pitiful, girl. Because I don't know the grocery store at all. My wife is amazing. She takes care of me. I'm probably spoiled in a way. Like, I can't find nothing in the grocery store. They tell me what aisle it's in and I can't find it. It's horrible." And I said, "We just went to the grocery store, and girl, it was pitiful. You're getting out of this nap." Now, I travel. I can iron. I ironed a shirt yesterday in the hotel. But I said, "And this boy thinks I'm ironing a shirt for school tomorrow. I'm telling you, you're getting up." And I was laughing. My wife was in a coma, but I was laughing. Nurses are looking at you. You don't even find out till later. You don't even realize you're ministering to people by your disposition. You don't even know that her tending nurse is the neighbor of the teacher my wife works for. You don't even know any of that. You don't even know that all she can talk about is the husband that comes in and seems unmoved, but you can tell he loves her, but he's unmoved and he actually brings peace into the ICU. That's a good testimony, huh? That sure beats just preaching it, folks.
I love it, man.
So you pray your 22nd prayer. I don't know what it was. I can't quote it. I don't remember. But it probably was something in the ballpark of this. Father, I thank you. You've given this life through Jesus Christ. Life, you come into this woman. All things be restored. Kim, you be restored and made whole as if none of this ever happened. You come off of her in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And then she's laying there. And if you're not careful, you'll take that as a slap in the face and think you better try again. Mm-hmm. I ain't trying again. This ain't roulette and I ain't gambling. Jesus is Lord and I'm finished.
Amen.
I'm going home. I'm taking my boy. I looked at him and I said, son, we did what we came for. Your mama's going to be fine. Let's go. Okay, Dad. We get out into the ICU, out of her room, into the ICU hall. He just breaks down crying, starts freaking out. Shh, buddy, we're in ICU. Shh, you've got to pull it together. I thought he's crying because he just came out of seeing his mom in a coma. I said, I told you she'll be fine. He said, it ain't mom. It ain't mom. He pushed me. He's frustrated. I said, you've got to get a hold of yourself. We're in ICU. I get him out in the hall, away from ICU, that door. We go out there and I said, what's going on with you, buddy? He said, it's you and me, Dad. It's you and me. There's a big difference between you and me. I said, there ain't no difference. Both children of God. He lives inside of us. We both have covenant and promise. There's no difference, son. I don't know what you're saying. No, Dad, there is a difference. He said, you don't see what I see. That's what he said. He was mad. He's frustrated. You don't see what I see. Listen. He said, I don't see what you see. And he fell on me and started crying. All he saw was a mom in a coma. All I saw was Jesus as Lord. He said he already had pictures of having a mom on a couch on machines and no communication. All I see is a wife that I love. And my boy realized there's a difference in what we all see. And he realized he wasn't ready to walk in that room. He realized he's just a man driven by need that has principles the Bible promises. Now you're throwing out principles hoping they work instead of covenant that works through love and relationship. Yeah?
Yeah.
So an hour and a half after we walked out of the room, guess what my wife did? Opened her eyes. Looked around and closed them again. Doctor said, wow. Weren't expecting that. A couple hours later, in the middle of the night, she woke up for good. Clear, communicating, ran a new EEG, not one trace of brain damage, nor residuals from anything. Completely made whole. Now watch. I wake up at 6 in the morning, I'm getting a shower, it's a little around 6:30, and the Lord says, hey, I'm in the shower, I worship you. I mean, I've used all the hot water already, singing to the Lord, never picked up the soap. It's amazing. You know, all of a sudden you take this hyper shower, you've been in there for 40 minutes, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa! Because it's getting cold quick. And you just get carried away. In the shower, unashamed. Jesus! That sure beats Adam in the garden, man. So the Lord says, yeah, I want you to go in and see your wife. Today's a day of great increase. I said, yeah. You got to get out, dress up. Into the hospital. It's ICU. It's not even 7 in the morning. Now I'm the husband. That doesn't give me all kinds of rights. I go in there very gracious. I don't even know what I'm doing. This is all I know. They're looking at me like I'm like an enigma. I woke up and I said, hey, girls. I said, I'm Dan Moeller. I'm Kim's husband. She's over. He said, we know who you are. Yeah. I said, wow. Is it okay if I go see her? I know it's really early, and I apologize. But I really felt in my heart that I was to come here and see her. You're the husband. And I said, well, I understand that, ma'am. But I'm just not presumptuous, not busting a protocol. If there's a protocol, I'll follow it. I just want to make sure everything was fine. Anyway, go see your wife. Found out later that they were overwhelmed by me. They said they never met anybody like that. They said every Christian they ever see my doctor, her doctor, every Christian that they ever saw cried, wailed, wouldn't leave the chapel, baggy eyes, couldn't sleep, and cried the whole way through till they died. Almost always. Quoted the Bible over and over and over till they died. See, when I told him I was coming in to do what I've been trained and prepared to do, he said, what is that, sir? I said, I'm going to lay my hands on her and the kingdom of God's going to come upon her. She's going to be okay. He said, sir, I appreciate your heart in that, but I'm a doctor and have to face the reality of this situation. I said, doctor, you couldn't even hear what I said and it's not your fault. I said, you've seen countless people come in and say all the right things and not get the results, moved by fear and desperation and worry and despair. I said, sir, you're not talking to someone like that on the phone. I'll see you in a little. That's not presumption. That's relationship with God. Confidence isn't pride. And I encourage you to listen to Hebrews 10:36. Don't you throw away your confidence, because it has great reward. So that after you receive or walk to, that you do His will, you receive the promise. Yeah? Amen. So I walked in. I turned the corner and there's the doctor with a bunch of doctors. They all got clipboards. He's the head of ICU. They're all talking. He sees me. And I saw him and I just smiled. I'm trying to be quiet. I'm walking. It's early. He sees me and he goes like this, throws his clipboard down, pushes through two men and runs to me through the ICU. And I said, hey, doctor. He said, it's amazing. Your wife, she's doing amazing. I said, I know. I said, I was in the shower and the Lord said, get in here and it's a day of great increase. And Dan, you don't understand. She woke up in the middle of the night. She's completely clear. We ran every test. There's nothing even wrong with her. There's no residuals. There's no after effects. I've never seen anything like this. And I said, doctor, I just appreciate you, man. Thanks for what you do for people. I just appreciate you taking care of my girl. He said, what? Dan, we didn't do that. I said, doctor, you're missing the whole point. You did a lot, and thank you. I didn't go in and say, well, we don't need the arm of the flesh. Praise God, bless God. We've got the power of the Spirit. And then your spouse dies, and you look foolish. And you don't even honor people. They're helping the best they understand. Yeah, it's two different approaches, but I bet their heart is the same. I bet it's time to honor people. And I said, doctor, I so appreciate it. I said, he said, we didn't do anything. I said, are you kidding me? You were there for her. You innovated her. You put her on life support. You were protecting her and watching her the best you understood and knew. He said, but we didn't do that. I said, I know that. But you did a lot. Thank you. Watch. He started to cry and grabbed me, hugged me, and wouldn't let me go. And I was taught by a pastor a long time ago, when somebody hugs you under those conditions, don't let go until they do. When they initiate the hug. Men, when your wives grab you and cleave to you, you hold them tight. And don't you release your grip until you feel them release their grip. You hold them as long as they know. I'm telling you guys. Good tip. Don't be some hugging. Watch this. Doctor grabs me, hugs me. He's crying, man. Keith, he's crying. I'm like, whoa. He's holding. We're holding. He lets go. I said, thanks, man. I went in and I looked, and my wife goes, hey. She's whispering because of the trach tube. See, you don't understand. My wife was in severe identity crisis at the time. She was believing that people only acknowledged her because she was my wife. She thought that they were just being rhetorical and saying hi to her because she was with me and that she's just riding my coattails and she's just along for the ride. But she's really not called and she's really not gifted and she's really not special. She just happens to be my wife. And I used to tease her and say, well, that's not such a bad thing. I mean, I'm trying. I'm like, was that so bad? I mean, what a bummer, huh?
Well, your wife.
I'm just going to mope through life. You're my husband. See, if I'm not secure, I'm hurt by that. I'm like, what, ain't I enough? Well, so what would they think? And would you love me? Next thing you know, I got issues because she's got issues. Come on. You overcome evil things with good. She's not evil, but what she was thinking was detrimental. What she was believing was detrimental. Yeah, yeah. Guys, this didn't last 6 weeks. It lasted 6 years. To where it was like I didn't even have a wife. She wouldn't come to church. She didn't want to go nowhere. She didn't want to be around nobody. When people called her, just there on her arm. She's on their heart. And they'd call. Sincerely call. People I knew. Kim, just thinking of you. She'd listen to their message while they were talking. She was just so... not thinking clear. I'm not bashing her right now or belittling her. It's the reality of deception. And it can happen to anyone if you start believing lies. She would say, well, they're just calling me because I'm so messed up. They're not calling me because they care. They're just calling me because I'm so messed up. It's because I haven't been to church. It's the only reason I'm calling. They're just trying to find out what's so wrong with me. And I'd say, oh, Kim, wonder if they really care. Wonder if they actually care. Well, they don't care about me. They're just doing the thing they're needing to do, and they're just wondering why I'm not at church. I'm like, oh, sweetie, I wish you didn't believe that. It's still not true. And I'd try to tell her who she was, and she'd look at me, square in the eyes, and say, well, you're supposed to tell me that it's the right answer. Doesn't mean it's true. And it seemed like as much as I loved her, there was no way to love her in expression. So I just loved her by not being frustrated, not growing weary, not giving up, not saying, how much is a man supposed to take? Well, I ain't getting no loving from her. I wonder if there's anybody out there willing to love me. You know, a guy can only go alone so long. Come on! I've seen all that in Christians. I've seen Christians tell other Christians in that, well, you only got one life. God doesn't expect you to do forever. Maybe you need to move on and think about where... It's not Jesus counseling. That's human flesh. So she started saying, be better if I wasn't alive. It'd be better if I was dead. Be better if I wasn't alive. It'd be easier on you if I wasn't here. You could just go free and do what you need. I said, honey, if you believe all that, why don't we pursue change? Why don't we? Because I'm fine. Do I look tired? Do I look angry? No, sweetie. But here's the paradox. The more I grew in Christ, and the more people saw Christ in me, and the more things that went like that in the Lord in me, the farther away from me she felt, and the more condemned she believed she was. I had pastors telling me I should back off and stop growing until she catches up. That is a lie. You never stop growing. You grow and let Jesus bring them back to you.
Amen.
Because I wasn't an exasperated, frustrated husband. I wasn't calling Paul saying, you need to pray for me, man. I can't take this much longer. I didn't even know what that means. I was fine. Because I'm not waking up for her to love me. I'm waking up to love. See, I'm preaching this out of living it, guys. Big time. So guess what happened? The words of her mouth. All of a sudden, this thing tried to kill her. So now we're in the ICU, and she's awake, and she's alive. She said, what happened? I said, well... you had some kind of breakdown, emotional, you went into this violent seizure, it wasn't epilepsy or anything, it was just an overload of stuff that they described it, and you had a violent seizure, sweetie, you were in it for a whole hour. They gave her two different shots to pull her out, and she stayed in it for a whole hour. Violent seizure. When they intubated her, she was in a coma and had suffered brain damage from an hour-long seizure. She said, well, what? And I said, yeah, I said, it's okay. You're awake now. And she went, you prayed for me. You didn't let me go. That's what she said. Like, surprised. Guess what was happening to her? She realized, I've been deceived for all these years. If I was as bad as I was saying, it would have been an easy out for him. He could have just left me go. He held on to me. He wanted me alive because he doesn't see what I've been believing. He sees more. I told Ryan, I told him, Ryan, I teased him. I said, well, of course I didn't let you go. I said, I'm a good husband. might as well get a chocolate. That sure beats being frustrated, exasperated, and a product of what she's not. That sure beats letting what she doesn't see define what I do see. How about praying her through, huh? How about getting her back? Because you know what she's been living for 6 years ain't the truth. She has a greater destiny than that. I don't want her slipping away in that lie. Are you kidding me? It ain't easier to let her go. It's easy to hold on to her because she's a lot more than what she's seeing. And the goodness of God can lead her to change. So let's go for it and come back home, honey. Boom! She wakes up and we're in the room and she goes, you didn't let go. You held on to me. You didn't. She started crying and said, well, of course, honey. You ain't going nowhere. And that's why I teased her and said, besides, you have an amazing husband. I was like laughing. And, and we're hugging. She yawned. It was the most beautiful thing I ever saw, man. She just yawned. I walked in. I said, you have never been more beautiful. Why? Because she was alive. Her hair's pasted flat. She looked like she was in a coma. No paint on the barn. The barn wasn't painted, buddy. She just flat hair, hospital gown. And I said, you have never been more beautiful. She said, oh, yeah, really, right. And she said, what happened? We're talking. And she yawned, and I just started crying. I've seen her yawn 1,000 times. I just thought it was the most beautiful thing because she's alive.
Hallelujah.
I was just valuing her. Wow. I said, you're so sweet. You yawn. Look at you, so sweet. Don't stop. Doctor sat on the bed when he discharged her. Never in my medical profession have I seen a recovery of this magnitude. It's beyond my understanding. I said, Doctor, his name. Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. And he's our king. That's being a lot of other things. Yeah? Were you there? I was afraid to look at my watch. I hadn't looked for so long. I thought, oh dear Jesus, I just thought about my watch. Oh, it's not like 10:45. Well, it is 8:45. I don't know what that means to you. It doesn't mean a lot to me other than I'm trying to be courteous. I mean, when you live in eternity, you have excuses. Jesus don't wear a watch. This will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I bet he ain't wearing them. Guys, there's something about knowing him. Not just knowing about him. Not just getting the technicality of it all down. Something about knowing him. Something about living in faith through relationship with God, where the spontaneous result of knowing him is faith. It comes out of relationship. It never comes because you have a need. Faith never comes because you have a need. Faith comes because you know him.
Yeah.
What comes because you have a need is usually fear and you're driven.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason you come to God is because you have a need, not a covenant. You'll come from the wrong place and it'll do you harm. Am I making sense?
Yes. Yeah.
You have faith because you know him.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You don't have faith because somebody told you a healing scripture. You have faith because you know him. I understand faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. But hearing by the word means you begin to know his nature, his heart, and who he is and why he said what he said. Oh, it's so good. It's not just a confession. It's a revelation that comes to your mission.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? Come on, man. I've seen so many people healed in my life that I've seen too much to change my mind.
Hallelujah.
But I haven't seen enough because my life doesn't look like his. I've seen too many people die. I've seen little children die. Now, I've seen children live that should never have lived. But I've seen children die that were supposed to die, and that bothers me. Because the Bible says they can live. And if Jesus touched them across the board in this room, we'd say they'd live. And He lives in me. And He lives in you.
Amen.
And we say, well, they have a healing ministry. Well, they have a gift. The sign follows a believer.
Amen.
People say, well, you shouldn't be chasing signs. You're not. They're following you. The sign follows a believer. There's signs hovering behind every believer waiting for faith so they can go. People say, well, I've never seen blind eyes open. I say, how many did you pray for? People say, well, I've never seen a paralytic come out of a wheelchair. How many did you pray for? We're always waiting for it to happen. And when it happens, we hear about it and it doesn't affect us because it wasn't through us. We weren't there. It's just another man's story now. And we say we believe it, but it doesn't change us. I'm convinced the more people we lay hands on, the more things we'll see. The number one reason Christians don't pray for the sick is because they're afraid nothing will happen. And in that fear, they have what they're already afraid of. Nothing, because they're not praying. See how you lose by default? You're afraid to step out and pray for the sick because you're afraid nothing will happen, so you're already guaranteed nothing. But if you weren't self-conscious, what are you losing? Just step out. Show that you care. Show that you love. Show that you believe. See, but I don't want to misrepresent the gospel. You're not when you're walking in love. Love never fails. Show people you care. Get your hands on somebody, because if you lay hands on the sick, they shall. But if you pull back your hand because you're unsure, you're not even starting the process.
Right.
So you pass by somebody through the mall or through the parking lot, and they're going like this, and you say, man, what'd you do to your knee, buddy? You look like you're in pain. Ah, yeah, I strained my ACL. I think it's tore. I'm going to get it checked. No way. Does it hurt bad? Oh, yeah, it's bad. Well, listen, man, you're probably in a hurry. Well, yeah, I got to head down. Listen, 15 seconds. It's all I need. What? Just 15 seconds, man. Father, I just thank you right now. Wholeness in Jesus' name, need be healed. Don't you even take 15 seconds. It don't take that long for you to believe. You're not inconveniencing Him. You're being quick. You're not praying over all His generations and 2 minutes later still, Father God and Father God. Because He's freaked out and wishing you'd stop. Just a Holy Ghost drive-by, man. You just... Father, I just thank you right now. Nobody ever punched me in the mouth for praying for me. I've had a few people get a little hostile at the suggestion, just a few. Most people let you. But what am I losing if they even get hostile? It's just a reflection of where their heart is. It doesn't mean I have to spruce up on my approach. I'm not mechanical. I'm real. I happen to care about people. So you're at a counter and you realize the young man's on his feet all day and you realize the floors are hard and you say, hey, bud, how's business going? Wow, you're the manager. You put in a lot of hours. Yeah, too many, man. No way. I said, here's your money. You're paying the money. It's real stuff. These aren't just analogies. This stuff happens a lot. And you look and you say, listen, man, you're on that hard floor. You're on your feet all day. How's your legs holding up? How's your feet? Are you okay? Are you in pain? Does that ever bother you just standing all the time? Man, it's crazy. You're asking me that. Right now I'm having shoes made because the pain gets so bad in my feet. I'm getting these special cushioned shoes just to try to help cushion because of standing on these hard floors and stuff. Do they hurt right now? Dude, they're killing me. My feet hurt me bad. Yeah, I can't wait to get these shoes to give them a try. No way, man. Let me see your hand for a minute. What? It's all right. I ain't going to read your palm or nothing, man. Just And usually, they go like this or like this. They don't know what you're doing. They like, give me your hand. They're like, and all you do is just touch the side of their finger and don't be offensive. Just, Father, I thank you for your amazing love for this young man. Pain, you come out of him in the name of Jesus. Feet, you be healed in Jesus' name. I close my eyes just because I like to not be distracted and look at expressions. I'm just thinking about Jesus. Some people say, don't close your eyes. There's no right or wrong there. It's all about faith. It's all about what you believe. So I open my eyes and you look at him and he's just staring at you. He says, what'd you just do? I prayed. Well, I know that, but what did you just do? Because as soon as you started talking,
that pain came out of my feet. I said, yeah, that's why I prayed, man, because that's what I was expecting to happen. His name is Jesus, sir. He lives inside of me, and he wants to live inside of you. Let me tell you. See? That's evangelism. Whatever city you're in, heal the sick there. We're still fighting over healing. How are we going to heal the sick? We're still fighting. Whatever city you're in. What city? Whatever. Heal what sick?
The.
Come on, this thing isn't complicated. But we haven't seen people healed along the way, so we have a lot to say about that because we think so much and we don't let Jesus be our barometer of truth. We let our experiences, and now we're confused. And now when people aren't healed, we say, well, I guess it wasn't the will of God. Well, I guess they just need to believe, I guess. And we have a whole lot to say about it, but it's at the cost of truth, which makes men free. And now you're not encouraged to get in the game and run the race. Because we're confused. So you'll never get around it. The Bible says these signs follow those that... I said it this morning. If you were the enemy, what would you attack? If every promise is to the believer and you were the enemy, what would you try to attack? The belief system of the church. Because you ain't going to go knock God off his throne. You ain't going to go punch out Jesus. So you might as well get his people confused, frustrated, arguing, competitive, mad, whatever. You start praying for people when you see them. When they're hurting, you got a green light, whatever you see here. You don't have to say, well, I'm not feeling led. Well, then put a fishing sinker in your pocket. And when you don't feel led, just reach in and squeeze it good. And after you feel led, go get on with the world. Alright? Seriously, I used to keep a big chunk of lead in my pastoral office, right at my desk. I got people pulling out of the spiritual line on me all the time. I'd be saying, listen, man, Freddie, it's time to just start loving your wife, man. Well, I don't feel led to love her right now. What? You know, I don't feel led. People pull that I don't feel led thing out like, so I said, whoa, listen, man, I pull open the door, grab that big chunk. I said, hold out your hand. What are you doing, man? Well, listen, that's led. Now that you felt led. You need to get home and start up. You're not worth the answer. Because that's just an excuse and justification for not following Jesus. When we did our love problems, we used to hand them out fishing sinkers. They put the little fishing sinker right in their pocket. And then when they were out in public, they didn't ever have to ask God, well, I don't feel led. Do you think I should go pray for them, Lord? It's a yes and amen gospel. Go for it. I wonder if I should encourage them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm feeling this urge to give them like $20 and bless them and tell them God loves them and be encouraged in their finances, but I don't know. Maybe I should just blame the devil for the suggestion. Maybe God's just, the devil's just trying to steal my money and God comes up with Yeah, okay. You say some crazy stuff, man, in the church. You start laying hands on the sick. You watch what happens. So you pass this guy. He's doing like this. Let me paint a scenario for you. Let me pray for you, man. Jesus' name. Check it. Whoa. Tell me how it's doing. Does it still hurt? Yeah, it does. The same. Yeah, it feels the same. What? Why? Did you think it was going to get better or something? Yeah, I was really hoping. I mean, I've seen it before. I wouldn't have stopped you if I'd never seen it. That would make me a fool. If I knew it wasn't going to happen. No, I was expecting. Here's the deal. I know you got to hurry. You told me you're on your way to work. You take heart. Thanks for letting me pray. And here's the deal. When you lay hands on the sick, they recover. I'm expecting good things in your leg, man. And I just appreciate you. Thanks for letting me pray. Every time I think of you today, I'm going to thank God for the good work he's doing in your leg. You keep your heart on him. You keep your eyes on him. Bless you, man. When you walk away, you didn't sell him nothing, you didn't hand him a church card, and you didn't take an offering. So guess what? As soon as you walk the gate, guess what? All his defenses and guards are down, and all of a sudden you appeared sincere in his sight, and there was nothing for you in return. No string attached, no catch, just sincere love. And now you just open the door for him to think, man, it almost seemed like they cared for me, like they were sincere, like they were concerned. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God could begin to minister to them and tell them how he loved them from the beginning. And next thing you know, they're crying in their car because you opened the door. Yes. We're so worried about if they're healed or not, we're missing the whole thing. And we're failing to love, and love never fails.
So if love never fails, let's not fail love. So did I lose anything when his knee didn't change? No, I opened a door for the kingdom to flow.
Amen.
And I taught him that people really do care and there is a such thing as faith on the earth. I've had people on the street say, no man, I ain't into that, I don't need you to pray for me. I said, well, it's not that you need to be, I want to pray for you. Listen, man, no, because nothing's going to happen. Look, if I believed nothing was going to happen and I thought and knew nothing was going to happen, why would I ask you to pray? That would make me a fool. That would be silly. Come on, man. If I haven't seen this before, I wouldn't be excited to pray for you. Let's pray. I believe it's possible and I believe it's true. Let's go for it, man. And usually you can compel people. I was just out in California and this big Spanish dude, man, he was big. His arms looked like my legs stuck to his shoulders. I am. He's a big, scary looking dude. But I just don't happen to get afraid anymore. The worst he can do is squeeze me and kill me and I won't die. The worst he can do is pop my head off and I'll be with Jesus. I'll be like, thanks, man. And I'll be like, thanks, man. This boy is in the Carl's Jr. He can't walk. He's on crutches. I wait till they leave. Because I'm not going to try to embarrass him. I'm not putting on a show. I'm not trying to overtake Carl's Jr. Just care about the boy. Care about the dad. So I wait till they're heading out. I can see they're heading to the car. I shoot out the side door. Nobody knows what I'm doing except for the family I'm with. They see me take off. And I just shot around and we were waiting in line. And I ran down and said, hey, man, what happened? What'd your boy do? Oh, he's playing sports. He broke his foot. Broke them long bones, a couple of them. He just did it yesterday or the day before. I said, it hurt. He said, yeah. I said, you can't use it? No. I said, it's all wrapped up. I said, so if you put it on the ground, I mean, it would be like, he said, oh, I can't walk on it at all. It's broken. I said, really? I said, listen, Dad, I'm not being curious and nosy. I'm actually catching a plane over here in Sacramento. I got to fly home. And I may never see your face again, man, but what an honor if you let me pray for your boy. And let's believe that God come and change his foot right here on the sidewalk. He goes, nah, man, nah, we're good, we're good. I said, Dad, you don't look good. Things don't look good. Come on, man. If God touches your boy's foot, that's a good day for you, Dad. You ain't got nothing to lose. Let me pray. See, I'm aggressive. Like, I won't just take a quick no for an answer. So he's like, and I realized he had issues with God. He had unresolved things with his belief in God. And I told him not to let that stand in the way. Let me pray for your boy, please. He said, well, I said, look, sir, if I have never seen anything like this and didn't believe it was going to happen or didn't believe it was possible, would I sneak out of this store and stop you on the sidewalk? That would make me a fool and I'm just wasting all our time. And I probably should get a life and get on my plane. And I compelled him. And he finally went, well, go ahead, man. Go ahead. Go ahead. And I looked at the 12-year-old because I asked him how old he was. And I said, now listen, Daddy said it's okay if I pray, but I want to make sure you're okay. Are you all right if I pray? Can I pray for your foot? He looks at Dad. It's okay. Never touched him, never knelt down, never put my hand on his foot. 5-6 seconds. Father, I thank you for your amazing love for these guys, for their family. Foot you be healed, bones you be mended, pain you leave. In Jesus' name be all. That's all I did. So sincere from the heart for them. Not to get a testimony. Not to be a Christian hero. Not to get a healing, to have a testimony, to feel better about myself spiritually. Because he loves that family. And the dad is hurting. And the boy is too. It's the most beautiful thing you may have ever seen. Makes good video stuff. It would be good movies, man. Boys stand like that, and I said, amen. And he said, well, thanks, man. I said, okay. I said, well, listen. Dad, follow me close so you know I ain't saying nothing foolish. Pay attention to what I'm telling your boy. If you're uncomfortable, you holler. Son, if you'd have put your foot down before we prayed, it would have hurt pretty quick, right? Oh, yeah, I care. I said, would you real lightly, real gently, just begin to put it down on the sidewalk, and if it hurts, pull it right back up. But if it doesn't hurt, just keep putting it down. As long as it doesn't hurt. You hear me, Dad? Is it okay? He said, well, you can. Watch. Exactly how it happened. Right on the sidewalk of Carl's Jr. He goes, looks up his dad. Dad! Dad! Nervous. And Dad's going, I said, it's okay, buddy. He goes, Dad! Lifts up the crutches. Standing just like that. But, I'm not kidding. Dad! And Dad goes, oh, man. That's what he does. I said, whoa, whoa, listen, sir. Don't you go there. You've had beliefs about God. You've had unresolved stuff. You've been willing to pray because of, come on, man, there's been hurt. There's been questions. There's been loss. There's been things. Mister, he's bad. He's on there. Oh, I hope this is good. Just having fun with that. Because I'm not thinking about me at all. I don't even care if he squeezes me, honest. If I cared, I'd have never been out there. I'm talking to him, and he looks at me, and I said, look, the boy, he's 12 years old. He's excited now. He's like, Dad! Dad! And he's all wrapped and has a thing on. But he's completely zero pain, totally restored right there. I've seen that a lot in my life. But guess what? I put myself in that position a lot. Well, you're gifted. Not believer. Well, you have the healing ministry. Believer. I don't tell these testimonies much anymore. You know why? Because when you go to church, then everybody that's sick lines up and wants you to pray for them because they think you got something going on. And then it misses the whole point. We got something going on. We're priesthood of believers, so that's believing. But Daddy hugged me. He didn't kill me. Man, he hugged me. He's a big dude, man. I mean, his arms, he just... Got on my plane and flew home. Probably got on the plane and somebody asked how I was doing. You know, how are you doing? That sure beats. Well, I'm a little worried. My flight's not going to make it. I'm going to miss my next connection. And I'm just really nervous. I'm about to stay at the airport. I just pull up. I don't know why I always get a taxi. That's what a lot of people are doing.
It's just good to be free.
Is it too late to do something quick? Can we do something? Can we pray for the sick? Would you want to?
Amen.
Will you get involved? Will you help me?
Amen.
Is it okay? Sorry, you're good with me letting me get involved. Because nothing weird will happen in the room, even if you're visiting. It's rare. Churches don't let visitors participate because we don't know who people are. But if I give you strong, narrow, quick parameters where nobody can... We just can't even make a mistake tonight. Okay? No, we can't. So here's the deal. We're going to do two things. We're going to pray for two categories of sickness, okay? The first one's going to be real simple, and I'm going to teach through this whole thing because the whole thing isn't about me lining everybody up and praying. The whole thing is about us being further equipped and encouraged and inspired to keep on living this way. Okay? First of all, faith isn't a point in time. Don't turn faith into a point in time. It's not a hit, miss, win, or lose.
Well, let's try and see if he will. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't.
Not faith. Faith is a belief. Faith is the position of your heart settled in believing what he accomplished, period. Amen. If I don't understand that, when I lay hands on my wife on the life support and she keeps sucking on that ventilator, then we didn't get nothing. And until she opens her eyes, we didn't get it. Your faith better be bigger than that. Better be beyond that. Are you following me?
Amen.
So tonight when we pray, we're going to pray by simple faith. Believing is the will of God to heal and restore, period. Yeah. Now watch. First category that we're going to pray for, who knows there's sickness that's in people's lives or there's a diagnosis or a picture they took and they found something, but you can't tell it's there other than from time to time you get symptoms. That's why you had a checkup. Get a migraine. It's been hitting you once a week, two times a month. You never know quite when it's coming, but it seems to be pretty regular for the last 3 months, but you don't have one now. But you've had them. You see what I'm saying? That kind of stuff. Diabetes, you really don't have neuropathy, you really don't have strained eyesight, you really don't have depletion of the body, but boy, you sure got an out of whack blood sugar and you've been on insulin and you're concerned where this is heading, but there's no way to really know until you check your blood. You get what I'm saying?
The thing I want to do first is just pray for the people in this room. It's not a lot of us. We can pull this off tonight easy without a lot of time. If you have a situation in your life that's less than wholeness, but there'd be no way to tell, check, or testify if you were healed or not in the moment other than just sheer faith in your heart saying, I believe I'm healed. But there'd be no way. It's not like you have bone on bone and you can check it. It's not like you have a torn rotator cuff and you can't lift but to hear and you can check it. You have a condition that time will have to tell, a test will have to tell, or something down the road will have to reveal that you're changed. Are you guys following me? I only want to pray for those people first, right now, real quick. And not without results. When I say real quick, when I make a light of it, or I wouldn't be offering. I just want you to stand to your feet if you fit that description. You need healing, but if you were healed, there'd be no way to tell right now. There'd be nothing you could actually check physically to determine your healing. It's a condition that time would have to tell. You guys with me? Okay. And some of you that are standing might have another situation that if you were healed, you could tell. So I want you to get involved in the next round if you fit that description. But the people that I have standing, are we correct and clear that if you were healed for the reason you're standing, there's a condition that you wouldn't know if you were healed until time would reveal it or a test or your body down the road, right? Okay. So here's the deal. When you're prayed for, I preach this stuff all the time and I am convinced about it. When you're prayed for, the Christian only ever has one response, period. Father, thank you that you love me. I appreciate what you're doing in me. You sent your son. You gave me life. Your love is amazing. Thank you. Not, boy, I hope I'm healed. I hope this worked. I hope that pain doesn't come back tomorrow. I hope it. Faith works through love. It's time to receive the love of God and stand in the love of God. And thank God for what He's doing in our lives because we believe. You get it? So every person that's standing, you won't be able to check anything, but in your heart you can release faith with us as we pray for you and leave here saying, wow, God, I just appreciate how simple this is. Your love is certain towards me, or you've never sent your son to die on a cross. This sickness is no reflection of your love or lack of love. What Jesus did on that cross is the I love you to me. Thank you for making things new. Amen. I appreciate you healing and restoring my body.
Amen.
You talk to him like that from your heart tonight. You get alone before you go to bed. Even if you're married, just take a little time. Sneak in the bathroom and just get alone and be personal and learn to have personal communion with the Lord. Would you? Don't be afraid to act like me. Just be the best you. But go be with them, okay? Okay. Somebody sitting near the people standing, just reach up, touch them, get a hand on them, let them know that we're in this together, that we're believing with them. Don't pray yet. Just touch somebody that's standing real quick. And yeah, you guys can just hold hands in the row like that. That's good. We're just believing. It's simple faith, simple prayer. So watch this. The Bible says, if you have faith, what will you do? You'll say to the mountain, be removed, and it'll what? It'll move. Now, we didn't ask them what they're standing for, but we know it's something less than wholeness, okay? So all I want you to do when you pray is from your heart. And I'm going to pray with you this time. The next round, I'm not even going to pray with you guys. You're on your own in the Holy Ghost. It's going to be so fun. Because we can't miss this thing. It's so awesome. Because you know what happens? When I pray over top of everybody, people say, well, it's only because you're here and we're under the umbrella of what you're walking in and da-da-da-da-da. And somehow they make it a gifting and a ministry instead of a believer priesthood. So I'm just going to teach and get totally out of the way. And you're on your own in the Holy Ghost. It's going to be so awesome. I'm telling you. So here's what I want you to do when you pray for them. Just something simple like this. Don't parrot or puppet what I'm saying. I'm just giving you an idea, a principle or something. Just wholeness, you come in Jesus' name and be completely healed, completely well. Sickness, weakness, and never return in Jesus' name. Something really simple like that. Now, how long does it take to actually say that and believe that? Less than 10 seconds probably, right? That way, none of the work is on you. It's not about your prayer. Watch this. Your prayer never has, never will heal anybody.
Right.
It's your belief in what he accomplished. It's your faith in his finished work. Amen. How many people in this room, you went to pray for the sick and got very conscious about what you were praying, how you were praying, and what he sounded like and what you were saying? That's a problem.
Let's cut that off tonight.
Okay? Father, in Jesus' name, just pray over him right now. 5-7 seconds. We just thank you for wholeness in this room. I'm telling you, this won't be without effect. Things are changing in this room. We're going to find this out. In Jesus' name, thank you for wholeness. Sickness, you leave. In Jesus' name. Amen? The people being prayed for, just thank God right now that He loves you. You love me. You're doing a work in me. You're making all things new. You're the one that strengthens and encourages my heart and my body. Thank you, Father, for your unfailing love. Amen? Would you do that right now? Amen. Jesus' name. Awesome. Yay. Grab your seats real quick. Come on. Grab your seats. We can do this in a good time. And you can all get involved with me, okay? I love music. I appreciate music, but I don't want any, okay? It's on purpose. We're going to make this room as dry as we can. We are, man. Because we're an atmosphere people. We're feely, sensey, ooey-gooey people. It's faith. It's the atmosphere is the kingdom of God, and it's in you. You don't have to get the music right. You get your belief right. I'm telling you, some of us just lean on atmosphere too much. Atmosphere is awesome, and I've had fun in atmosphere. I'm not against it, but I'll tell you what. The lack of atmosphere doesn't limit what I believe, and it doesn't have to ever limit what you believe. Come on, you don't take these guys with you when you're walking across the parking lot in a mall. They're not stirring it up for you. You know, you don't just got him following you with a guitar. You walk through the lot, you get in the flow. Sometimes you're actually a little nervous. Sometimes you see their expression and they're not really into what you're saying. And sometimes you're tempted to feel a lot of things. But it doesn't change the truth, does it? What you're feeling doesn't change the truth, does it? So don't let the truth change in you. So here's the deal. If you need healing in this room, and if you were to actually be healed in the moment when you're prayed for, you'd be able to tell it in your body. There's something you could check. There's some way you would know physically because you just have to move, do something, check something, feel for a lump. I was just in a service where the lady had breast cancer, lumps in her breast that were tangible and everything. And after the girls prayed for her, she went and she checked herself thoroughly, came out just bawling. Couldn't find any lumps in her breast. Went and got checked, and there's no cancer in her breast. Watch. Two ladies that never prayed for the sick stood up, prayed for her for 7 seconds. In the simplicity of what we're teaching. And cancer said, see ya. Wow. We tend to go, whoa, cancer, try to put on our best prayer. And in doing it, you're honoring cancer and actually empowering it as you're telling it to leave. You're telling it it's amazing. Don't even realize what we're doing. You guys with me? So if you're sick in your body, and if you were to be healed tonight, you would definitely be able to check and tell if something's herniated, ruptured, painful, not working. I was just in a service. A man had his wife putting on his shirts for 22 years because of a paralyzed condition in his shoulder. And in 7 to 10 seconds, some young man stepped out and prayed for him for 7 had total, complete use of his arm. And she just stood there and shook and cried because it's her husband she's been dressing for 22 years. Now, either he was playing a really mean game, or Jesus made him whole. Oops. You guys with me tonight? I'm telling you, things are going to change in the room just because it's the nature of God. And I'm not going to pray. You guys are going to pray. You'll see. You're going to help me. It's going to be easy, and I don't want anybody leaving and running on me, all right? If you're sick in this room, and you would be healed, and you would be able to testify and know and check it, and be able to tell if it changed, I need you to stand up. It's the second category to pray for. Hopefully we have enough people to go around and pray, because a lot of times there's a lot of folks. Look at that stuff. And now watch this. Here's another thing. It's no reflection on you. Don't you take a hit when you're going through things. Don't you get condemned. Don't you strive. Don't you, what's wrong with me? I wonder why. People do that stuff. I'm telling you, condemnation, the wrath of man never produces the righteousness of God. Watch. Anger towards yourself surely won't either. Just holding yourself spiritually accountable. Well, if I knew what I say I knew, I wouldn't be sick. I don't know why this can touch me. I guess I'm missing something. I guess I'm opening the door. Something must be blocking my... Stop all that. I've never seen anyone do well thinking that way. You follow me? Guys, I drug my leg around for 11 days and had zero use of it. 10 full days. And I preached the stuff I preached. Well, people were saying all kinds of things to me. Well, if you, how come, or why, well, not you, but you're the most faithful. the will I've ever seen. Some people that really know me and are close to me, you're the most Christ-like man I've ever met, and how can this happen if this happened to you? It really shakes my faith. I can't even believe it. I cannot give off. I'm just walking through something. It's going to be okay. You don't let this define God. You let God define this. You don't flip it. You don't get so heady and all full of, yeah. No, you get rooted and established and you don't know how to shake. You drag your leg and you're full of joy and you keep praying for the sick and you keep preaching the gospel because nothing's changed where truth's concerned. So let truth change this. Yeah? The 11th morning, I woke up and got my keys to go to church. I didn't want to go. It was hard to go. I had to get a shower. I'm dragging my leg. I knew everybody loved me. I figured I'd be like a greased pig at the fair, man. I figured everybody's going to be oil anointing, praying for me. I figured I wouldn't be able to even get into the church. I just didn't want to go, man. I thought, I'm just going to stay home and just worship Jesus. He said, no, I want you to go to church. I'm like, really? Really.
Okay.
It was a labor. I got ready. I went to the hutch and grabbed my keys. My family was waiting in the car. And it was like a lightning bolt. It was dramatic. Hit me in the head and shot down through my body. Went bzzz, right into my leg. And I was changed. Oh, I went ballistic. I know you can't picture that. But I went ballistic. I shouted and danced through the house and hollered at the top of my lungs. I came out of the house. My family's like, my boy, like, what's going on, Dad? I said, my leg. Jesus. I'm breaking out, man. And I just started walking up the street. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm walking to church. He was just 7 years old. He said, I'm with you, Dad. Was that thing true for all those days? Was it available all those days? Was you settle there and stop asking questions that shake you. And you thank God and you rejoice in the moment. And you don't let the leg define you. You let God define you. You don't run your leg or God through the eye of the needle of your leg. You run your leg through the eye of the needle of God. It changes everything. Yeah?
Yeah.
You all ready? So everybody standing, if you were healed, you would know it, right? Now listen, please. I don't want any exaggeration in the room. That's not cool. I don't want you saying things that aren't the reality of what you're experiencing because you don't want the people that pray for you to feel bad or you've been prayed for so many times in the church that you're like, oh, here we go again. And then you just say, yeah, I'm better. We don't want that. We want you better. And if you don't feel changed, don't say you're changed, okay? Only say you're changed if you thoroughly checked your body and know that it's different, all right? And then we're going to cover some things. Nobody can fail tonight. Nothing can go wrong. You'll see how beautiful and simple this is, okay? So if your body changes, if it changes somewhat, or if it doesn't change at all, we're called to pray for you, release faith, and release the kingdom. Is that true?
Yes.
So then we're going to go for it, aren't we? So here's what I need you to do. The people sitting, you're my prayer people. Did you already figure that out? You're enlisted. So here's what I want you to do. The people standing, lift your hand real high. Don't put your hand down until somebody comes and says, you're mine, I'm claiming you tonight. Have fun with it, man. If you're a little nervous about this, that's why I want you to get involved. Okay? So go find somebody. Don't pray for them yet. Just go claim them. Say, hey, you're mine. Just go get them. Go claim somebody. When they claim them, put your hand down. If your spouses... I just see you guys up front here. If your spouses, I'd rather just somebody. I know it'd be cool. Spouses can pray for spouses, but in this situation, somebody other than your spouse, somebody else come and get a spouse. You grab somebody else. Yeah. Put your hand down as soon as they come and claim you. I still got two ladies up here, three ladies that are looking to be claimed.
There's like a.
I got a young man in a green shirt waiting to be claimed. Sir, young man, do you need prayer? Oh, God. Back there? We got a lady in the back. She's still waiting for a woman of God or a man of God to come and stand. Yeah, you can, man. It doesn't have to be a lady. Is everybody covered? Is everybody covered? Okay, please, let's do this together. Let's be as a family. Because honestly, if I took a survey, you'd be amazed. Some people that are up praying right now haven't made a habit of praying. They haven't prayed for a whole lot of people sick and stuff. So this is good. Jesus is excited about what we're doing right now. He's excited that you're involved. He's excited that you're standing believing for healing. I promise you. Faith is a good thing before the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
So here's the deal. Let's do this together. Don't anybody pray yet. Just take 3 seconds, 3 to 5 seconds, ask the person why they stood up. If it's not too personal, tell them, and don't give them the long version. Just say, man, I feel arthritis all through my body, or my back has a herniated disc right about in the middle. Just tell them why you stood. 3 to 5 seconds. Give them the ins and outs. Without a long story. Okay? You got it? Everybody should have it. Don't pray yet. Just hang on. Don't pray yet. Hang on. Are you all ready? Do you all know why you're praying? Okay, this is awesome. Now listen. I'm only going to give you, honestly, I'm only going to give you 10 seconds. You know why? It's because I love you. I care. Watch. Ain't nobody going to get in trouble in 10 seconds. You can't get self-conscious in 10 seconds. Because I'm going to actually tell you a line of prayer, and I want everybody to just obey and agree that don't bring your ministry training into tonight. Don't you get out of what we're saying, because you want to honor this house. We're letting everybody get involved, and I think that's awesome. Right? So please just hear what I'm saying. We're not controlling the Lord. We're keeping it simple. All I want out of you tonight when you pray is simple stuff. You know what they told you. So if they said, I have arthritis, I feel it all in my joints and my body, very simple. I'll give you 10 seconds. You won't even need 10 seconds. Arthritis, you come out of their body in Jesus' name. Every pain you leave, mobility and looseness come in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just directly consistent with what they told you. Disc, you be healed. No more rupture, no more herniation. I thank you, Father, for wholeness in this back that they can bend and flex in Jesus' name. Whatever pertains to what they told you, be specific. Speak it out with faith, believing it's God's will to do it because of what He did through His Son.
Yes. Amen.
You can't produce it. You can't believe hard enough. You just very simply, wow, it's your will to heal. I see that through your Son. You love this person. In Jesus' name, be healed. You get it? We can do this, guys. You watch what happens in this room. It's going to be fun. As we're closing and praying, some of you that have been prayed for a whole lot and haven't seen healing, you're going to see your body change tonight just because God will honor the simplicity we're keeping us in. Some of us have actually tried too hard. Some of us got so much knowledge that it puffed us up and then it confused us. It's time to get back to simplicity and let Jesus be Lord. Are you following me? I'll give you 10 seconds. As soon as I say, okay guys, start winding it up. We're just about done. I want you to end your prayer in something like this. Father, I thank you so much for your love for them. God, your love is unstoppable. Thank you. That's kind of your amen, okay? The people being prayed for, I don't want you praying. Just receive. Let them speak for about 8, 7, 8, 10 seconds over you. And as we're winding down and closing, I want you to do this. Father, you really do love me, and I believe. Thank you for what you're doing in my body. As soon as we wrap up and say amen, I want you to do whatever it takes to check your body. Make sure you check it. Don't be rash. Don't be emotional. Check it. If you go, whoa, make sure you really whoa. You know what I'm saying? And then as soon as you know that it's changed, I want you to start going like this. You watch what happens. We'll find out what's going in this room, okay? And don't you say, oh, wow, mine didn't change. And then disconnect. That's what we do. I've seen it. I've been in a lot of circles over the years where we pray, it doesn't change, and we disconnect. The people praying go, I wonder what we did wrong. Wow, why did they get healed? Why didn't stop. Not tonight. It's not allowed in this room. We're not disconnecting. Here's what we're doing. When you see somebody going like this and your body didn't change quite yet, you listen to what they say. And when they testify, and even if they weep and say, wow, yeah, right before they prayed, I mean, it was throbbing, and it's not there at all, promising. And you say, wow, God, you are such a healer. Thank you for what you're doing in people. Thank you for what you're doing in me. And then you check it again. And you check again. And as people are testifying, I've seen healing just go like popcorn in the room. Just boom, boom, boom. Why? Because we won't disconnect.
Amen.
We teach our people at home how to not let go. How to never stop believing, no matter what. And we see a lot of healings because people won't let go. Are you with me? Now, you didn't forget what they need, right? I'm a teacher. I'm trying to lock something into your hearts. You all ready? You're going to have fun with this, aren't you? Before you pray for them, look at them real quick and just get them uncomfortable. Look right in their eyes. And that Jesus loves them and gave his life. Seriously, Jesus gave his life for their redemption. He paid precious blood to make these people whole. And we believe it, don't we? You ready to pray?
Yes.
10 seconds. I'm not going to pray over top of you. I'm just going to back off and wait. Watch my watch. You go ahead. Give them faith. Give them love. 10 seconds right now. Give them Jesus. Go for it, church.
He's already given the supernatural. So
it's awesome. Start winding it down. Thank God he loves them. Just thank God he loves them. If you're going to pray for it, thank God that he loves you right now. Okay. Thank you, God. Begin to check your bodies. Just whatever that means for you, just check them. In Jesus' name. Start checking them, people.
And they're healed.
Thank you, God. Just thank God he loves you. Don't disconnect. Thank God he loves you. Check your body. As soon as you know you're changed, whatever it is, I don't need you to go like this in this room. As soon as you know something's different. Let me see you go like this. Check it real good. Changed? For sure. Okay, I'm going to come to you in a minute. Anybody else right now? You got your change? Change? For sure? For sure? Okay. Just stay engaged. Don't anybody disconnect. Thank God he loves you. Now listen, stop praying. Stop praying. Everybody stop praying.
Yes.
I want you to listen to these testimonies. And as you hear the testimonies, I want you to thank God that he's a healer, that he's doing a good thing in this room, and he's doing a good thing in you. And every time you hear a testimony, thank God and check your own body. Will you do it? Just stop praying. We prayed enough. It's time to believe right now. We prayed enough. Guys, our excessive prayer actually is a result of unbelief a lot. There's a time to just believe. I'm telling you, sometimes we pray too much because we're trying to make something happen. No, we're going to believe God. I don't want anybody praying.
Okay.
What happened to you?
Well, I've had abdominal pain in my right side for at least 3 months.
I've had every test,
CAT scan, EKG,
nothing,
everything is
Was it hurting tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that's
your
bad.
Constantly. Yeah.
So before they prayed, the pain was there.
The pain got actually worse.
Wow.
When they all stepped around.
Stepped around you, it started to...
It was
infirmities and afflictions do that a lot of times when they can't find a diagnosis. Sometimes they're just little spiritual assignments to get you stumbling, thinking, analytical, and mess you up. I'm telling you, some of this stuff is real. Pain doesn't have the ability to increase when the believers are surrounding it. Sometimes it's assignments, it's afflictions, it's things that are trying to mess with. So what happened when they prayed?
It's gone.
Completely.
Yeah.
You have no sense, no trace.
It wasn't
anything like heat or anything. You can't do all that. I'm telling you, popcorn's going to pop in this room. So stretch your hands to her real quick. Whoever prayed for her, get your hand on her, whoever it was. Father, we thank you this will never come back.
Amen.
We thank you this is the end of that thing. Whatever it was, it just doesn't even matter. What matters is you love her. You paid a price for her redemption, and redemption's come. We rejoice in you and thank you for wholeness. In Jesus' name. Never come back. Amen.
In Jesus' name, whoever listens to be healed, pain go. Right now, we thank you, God, for your
really hurting tonight, right before they
each and every person.
And after she laid her hands, it's just got painful, and there's no more pain.
None.
Woo!
Awesome. Now look, she's making that up in each ministry, and she's just trying to make her feel good. Or she was changed. I believe she was changed.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Yeah, you actually feel emotional about that, don't you?
Yes.
It's really good. Who else? You know your body changed. Let me see you. Back in the back.
I'm being married my number 4 vertebrae and diagnosed.
A pinched nerve, diagnosed. Did you always have pain? So when you get certain things, it would hurt for sure. You couldn't what?
I can't do this, Marvin.
Okay.
Because the nerve affects the shoulder and the arm. You don't have mobility in your arm when that nerve affects.
Wow. Where is your wife here?
Yeah, that's my wife.
Yeah, that's you. That's right. God's proof in the house. So you know his wife, that was hard for him.
Yeah, I just made him a chiropractic appointment
for
this coming week.
Sir, you have any pain at all?
How do you feel, Kimo?
No limitation, no restriction. You couldn't do that before they prayed. John, that's just so awesome. Isn't that good? And healed. That would be fun. Things would happen, I promise you, because there's things I see. It happened because we're believing together. So when I get on a plane, you guys know healing in this church. You guys, but watch this. We're keeping it so simple, we're getting everybody in this room involved. There's no reason we can't continue to live this way. True?
True.
Who else? You know your body changed. Some over here. I see somebody raise their hand over here. You?
Yeah, my knee's been touching. Going down steps, and when I get up and get down, it's not like it's going to buckle, but it's not doing it anymore.
And you could always make it through it. If you make it through it, if you had tried normally, it would have done it whenever you moved a certain way.
Yeah, I sat down and got up right after, and it's good.
So, it's not there.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? That's a good day, huh? Anybody else? You know your body's changed when we prayed. I don't want to miss you. You did?
I've had a real serious urinary tract infection. My kidneys hurt really bad, and there's no pain there.
So that ache was there before they prayed?
Oh, yeah.
It was just an ache there?
Oh, no. It's been there for quite a long time.
Like, gone. Completely. Sir?
What if you're getting improvement, but you still feel
I'm going there. So you feel somewhat healed. You feel noticeably. You're almost 60, 70%?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's just a little bit less.
Just a little pain when I squeeze my
Are you face. More than 70%?
Yes.
Yeah? That's awesome.
Yes.
When we get momentum like that, listen. Some people we see healed completely when we pray. Bam. Some people have seen somewhat healed. And then there's some folks we don't see anything change. But we never change what we believe. It doesn't change the truth. So why do we change? So don't put yourself in a risky position and not understand that. When you ask for prayer, understand that you're believing it's His will to heal, period. So when I have momentum like that, we're going to do this in a second. Let me ask first, is there anybody else your body changed? It's not a percentage, but you know it's gone, like these people testified. You? What's up?
She's got a percentage.
Oh, okay. Does anybody else have a complete, you're just changed. You just want to let us know quick. Okay, now let me see this. Who is somewhat changed? It's definitely different. It's just not all the way changed, so you didn't raise your hand yet. But you know it's somewhat changed. Let me see your hands. I obviously got three right here. Do I have anybody else? I got three. What were you prayed for? Can you tell? Okay. So it's gotten better. It's just not all the way there. You can still find some obstruction, some pain, something. How about you, honey, over there along the wall?
Me. My knee and eyesight also.
Okay. So did something change in one or the other?
Well, my knee is better. Bend without pain, so now I can bend a lot lower.
Okay.
Still have pain, but I can go a lot further down.
Okay. Are your eyes any different?
Right now they are. They weren't in the after we prayed.
Five people in the last church I was at, five people's eyes changed the first time when people prayed. Couldn't read, couldn't see to the back, couldn't make out faces. Five different people's eyes changed in 10 seconds. It's fun. We had a lady had a blind spot in the center of her vision and couldn't see anything in the middle, and had cataract surgery and damage to this eye, and when they prayed, the blind spot went away, she saw completely clear, and the cataracts left, and all the milk went away. I'm just telling you, simple faith, simple prayer, just people like you and me, believing God, getting involved, not afraid to fail. You know what I'm saying? So how many who here, you had some change, you just didn't have all the way change? Just three? Is it just three? Is there any more? You, stand to your feet. Raise your hand high. If you prayed for these people and you're still here, get to them right now, real quick. We're going to do this together. You watch what happens. This is fun. Is the person that prayed for her still there, or was it you?
Was it you?
How about you? You got her? You all know what you're doing? 10 more seconds. Let's believe, church, right now that God changes their bodies. Come on. 10 seconds. Pray right now. Don't switch up your prayer. Just pray the same way. Thank God for what He did, that He's a finished work and He's making you completely whole. No more pain. No more obstruction. In Jesus' name. And tell them eyes to see. Yeah? In Jesus' name. That's good. Start thanking God right now that He loves you. People praying. Thank God He loves them. Because of your shed blood, King Jesus, thank you. We honor you. Okay, check your bodies for me, guys. Don't make anything up. You're not under pressure. Tell me what's going on. Tell me if it changed or went away or got better. Did it get any better? Did it go away? Is there anybody that it just got? It's gone.
Another
20%.
Down the last.
Are you really? That's awesome. Look, I believe him. I just have to believe you. He looks like he's telling the truth, doesn't he? Jesus' name. Did anything change anymore? It seems about the same. Change anymore or seem about the same? About the same? How about this lady right here? Change anymore or seem about the same? Okay. Now, this one's easier for people because you already received some improvements, so you can be like, wow, God, you're doing something. This is cool. This isn't just my imagination you're doing. So that seems easier. It's the one that we're going to next that seems to stumble folks. But it's up to you guys. When I'm getting increased and praying and it's getting a little better and a little better, I never stop. Because watch. A little better plus a little better plus a little better sooner or later equals wholeness. So if I'm getting momentum, I never stop. Now here's the last step. So if you want to pray for them on your own right now, just pray. And when it changes or goes away, let us know. But this is the one that I'm really serious about and I always cover in meetings because it's not talked about much. Who's standing still? We prayed for you and nothing seemed to change at all. Your body seems exactly the way it was when we prayed the very first time. Yeah, hold your hands high. Wow, that's actually quite a few. Stand your feet if you can, sir. Please, I'm just asking you. I'm not telling you. Keep your hands high. Look around, church. If you're the person that prayed for them, I need you to go get them again. Just go get them again. Don't say, hey, I want another prayer partner. I'm serious. You know why you're laughing? Because we do that. We do. Be confident. It's nothing you're producing. It's nothing you're doing wrong. We're just believing. Now, I'm believing God's going to teach us something here tonight, okay? Here's what I want you to do. Does everybody have your person again? Are we all claimed? Here's what I want you to do. Just take another few seconds. Please don't get nifty and change your prayer. Don't get creative. Pray the same way you prayed the first time and believe the same truth that you did the first time. Please. The people that are being prayed for, you're not under pressure. You're privileged to receive what He paid for. So all I want you to do is thank God it's true and thank God He loves you and thank God it's not a point in time. It's your heart. You believe. Okay? You ready? We're going to pray for you in just 10 more seconds. We're going to pray. I don't always do this, but on this case, I'm going to ask us, I want you to check yourself again. I'm going to find out what changed, okay? And then we'll do one more little thing and I'll have you out of here in 10 minutes. Are you all good? Because this is worth staying. The bodies are changing, right? Do you believe those people that testified? Do you think their body changed? Didn't that go? Let's pray right now. Give them 10 seconds, guys. Come on.
Jesus, I command the spirit of pain to loose this thing. I command the ligaments, the tendons, the nerves, every part of the muscles to be healed. In Jesus' name, the meniscus, every part.
Believe
in Jesus, let pain go.
Thank you,
in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, you make all things new. Jesus' name,
Jesus,
right?
We just thank you, Father, for touching it and healing it and making it every whistle. All swelling has to go.
Thank you, God. Okay? Check your body. Start checking your body. Thank God He loves you. And everybody in this room, we just prayed for that had nothing changed the first time. Start checking yourself right now. Go like this. If you felt it change this time, get somewhat better or something's different than it was the first time. I need you to go like this for me. There's going to be a few folks. Back there in the back, young man? Did it go away?
Gone.
Worse than away? Yeah. I like this guy, man. He's like, you're like a beacon, buddy. He's like, it's gone. Back here in the back, what? The pain went away? Okay, what were we praying for? What were we believing for?
This thing on my knee is like a calcium buildup.
Really?
It hurts when I work on a roof. So I'm on a roof today.
Does it usually hurt you, though? I mean, when you move it, press it, it has pain to it? That's pretty much a given. So can you find any pain in there at all right now? You have no pain, but you still have the feeling of the buildup, the bubbles there. Yeah? Put your hand on it for me. Father, we just thank you that pain will never come back. And we just thank you that you begin to smooth this out and take this away, that this thing just go away, that his bone would be the way you intended from the beginning, that this thing would never again bother him on the roof, never again bother him in his life. Father, we thank you this pain will never come back. In Jesus' name. Amen? You believe that with me, son. Amen? It's a good day right there. Who else changed that time when we prayed? Something got better, something changed, something went away. Anybody? Right here? Oh, okay.
Once again, we release healing to everyone who's
so you
listening
feel increased.
This.
You,
be
you can
healed,
do more
be
than
whole.
You could.
In Jesus' name, the Spirit of the Lord is with you and loves you.
So something just feels
be
like
whole,
it's changing. You can't really
receive.
Explain it. Your shoulder, were you able to only lift so